Welcome to Hurwitz's House of Horror.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror. I'm your host, Steve Hurwitz, and this is the podcast that has somehow been going on for about a year now, where two idiots sit you down and we talk about horror movies, we talk about horror things that we barely understand, and we just have a really good time doing it. Joining me back in the House of Horror is my co-host, Jefferson Miller. Welcome back, Jeff, how are you? Happy 1 year anniversary.
Today is?
Well, it will be at the end of the week, but we're recording this a little early. And when this episode does come out, we'll have reached that year. We'll have passed
it. Hey, what episode number is this?
This is episode 46. Technically, we should be on like 50 or something, but you know, it's all right. We're still going a year strong. Look at us go.
Look at that. We probably got teeth by now.
Do we? I have a lot.
Is that how babies work?
I've got quite a few. I don't know. I have no babies. Do you have babies?
I hope not.
I know James has a baby.
That's right.
Brian and he has some teeth. A baby. Does he?
Yep.
Babies are weird.
Little you know chompers.
Who doesn't have teeth is E.T. No, he does have teeth, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think he has a full set.
Man, that's horrifying. And I hate it. That's horror at its finest.
E.T.'s teeth?
All because of this podcast that we started a year ago on May 13th in honor of Friday the 13th. We started with that very first one. And now, because of this podcast, I have a life-size replica of E.T. that lives with me. I have a bunch of just new horror art to hang around my house and to decorate this spare room that I wasn't really doing anything with. And we have been sitting down almost every Monday for about year and just talking about fun horror things. And I think I've hopefully been cracking that eggshell of yours and getting you into a little bit more horror-y things.
Yeah, you know, there's certain movies that I'm more open to. Mm-hmm. I have noticed I am more desensitized.
That's good.
To just senseless violence.
Yeah.
In film.
There was something I was watching the other day and I was like, man, oh, actually, I'll bring that up in the horror hour. There is a little bit of something where I was like, I am definitely desensitized to a lot of murders now, a lot of grisly, horrifying, demonic things. But we'll get into that in just a second. First off the bat, I just want to thank everyone who has been with us since episode one or anyone who has jumped on the bandwagon as of last week's episode. I don't care. Y'all been listening and you have just been giving us great support here. I love doing this and I'm glad people are still listening and enjoying every week. I cannot thank you enough, Jeff, for being here. And I cannot wait to get into this week's movie because we are going back to the roots of the franchise of Friday the 13th and the roots of this podcast. But before we get into that, let's go into the horror hour.
This just in. Things are scary and horrible and spooky. Horror hour.
You want to start us off with this week's horror hour, Jeff?
Yeah, I do. I have tons of horror news.
Oh, really?
Nah.
You get me every time with that.
What about you, Steven?
Well, I got a few things I want to cover. So as of the other day, Evil Dead Rise has passed $100 million at the box office worldwide, which it has now become the highest grossing Evil Dead movie in the franchise. The second closest movie to that, not including inflation, would be the 2013 Evil Dead, which came to, I believe it was $97.3 million at the box office. And that was at the end of its run. This movie is, I think it's what, week three? I think it's about week three. And again, off of a $19 million budget that was originally supposed to go to HBO Max, they push it to theaters. And I guarantee you, Warner Brothers and everyone involved in that decision is like, wow, we made the right call.
Yeah, damn. Because $19 million is not a lot for a movie. That's dropping the bucket.
Pretty much. And I mean, you see that it is $19 million. It's nothing fancy and like spectacular, but I think that's what actually helps.
I was going to say, I feel like a lot of people run into the issue of feeling like they always have to make it fancy and a huge spectacle, and it pulls away from the movie a lot of times, especially in this genre. It's like,
yeah, they try and go too big or they use too many CG things or, yeah, they just try and make it something that it shouldn't
be. There's always a massive third act set piece, like huge thing. It's like, you don't need that.
And they do such a good job of containing it and making it feel small without making you feel like they had a limited budget.
Those movies should be lower budget. Specifically, those movies definitely should be.
Well, I think it adds to them.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't want to see anything too big. I'm worried they might do that, maybe with this newest one, because everyone's like, oh yeah, this made so much money, let's go bigger.
Right.
But I hope even if they do, they keep it, I don't know, in the way that they've been doing it.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying that. In keeping with Evil Dead Rise, I just learned some exciting news this morning. So by the time this episode comes out, this movie will have been released on streaming. It is coming to pretty much all of the streaming platforms May 9th, which I guess will be a week ago. Once this episode
streaming for free or for rent?
No,
for
like you'll, to rent. You'll have to rent it or buy it.
Boo. I mean, good, I guess, supporting the industry, but
especially this movie. I believe it'll be $25 to purchase on streaming and then $19.99 to rent. And then on June 27th, that's when it'll be coming to physical media with the combo, the Blu-ray, DVD, and all that. So if you had not had a chance to see this in theaters, I highly recommend seeing this movie in theaters. It's a great experience, but you know, if for whatever reason you can't make it, or you're stuck at home, or you just prefer watching things at home, which I honestly am completely all for, you will be able to rent this movie now and watch it and enjoy it. So
$20 seems steep for a rental.
Well,
that's,
I mean,
more than seeing it in theaters.
Consider this. You're seeing a movie. The ticket is what? Maybe $15?
Yeah, I would just keep $15.
See, $15. Well, no, that's what you would do. But like in for a general audience or somebody who is interested in seeing this, you're paying $15 for the ticket. You're driving. There's gas money. There's parking. There's concessions.
So they're like, we want to match that price.
I think it evens itself out.
We want to suck out that extra $5 for convenience.
I think that if it goes towards this movie in particular, I'm all for it.
You know what? I bet you love music venue processing fees too, aren't you?
Yeah, I love when Ticketmaster took over Ace of Spades and then I was paying, you know, $50 more for
processing, which is like, what, website improvements? Anyway. Movie ticket prices.
I do think this is a movie that is worth checking out. And if you have any thoughts, whether you did or did not enjoy it, I'd love to hear it. And I believe we will be seeing a sequel. I think it's been, 10 years in between Evil Dead and Evil Dead Rise. So I think we'll definitely be seeing something in between.
Rise.
So going to what I was saying about the desensitization, I was talking to a coworker who I was telling I loved this movie. And she was like, oh, yeah, I like scary movies. I'm like, you need to see this movie. It is fantastic. It is gross and you'll love it. Flash forward to a week later. She comes into work and she's just staring at me. And she's like, that movie was awful. I'm like, wait.
This is why I don't trust you, Steve.
Okay, well.
Like, I think you'd love it. It's really good, dude. Like, really lighthearted, kind of spooky. I see it and someone's like, oh, fuck. My skin's peeling off. I'm like,
kinda,
what? And you're like, that was my favorite part.
That's kind of exactly how the conversation went. She was like, it was just, I've never seen that much blood.
Mm-hmm.
I did think she was a bit of a bigger horror fan, but also I am used to a lot of this, especially in the Evil Dead franchise. And she was just like, it was so much. It was too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm so sorry.
Well, hey, Steve's coworker, if you're listening, I'm with you.
I don't think she is. But I mean, she had also heard from other people. Like, it has been getting really good word amongst, I'm going to say, the general critics, especially the horror fans. And so I and other people had led her to believe something. She went with her friend as well, and they both thought it was just not good.
Uh-oh.
She brought up the scene where the person gets their scalp ripped off, like,
yeah,
right,
gross,
off the bat. And she was like, well, that wasn't a good start.
Yeah.
So that was very funny. But then I had a completely night and day reaction. The other day I stopped into Cupro's, a bar here in Sacramento. And one of my friends was getting off work and she sat down. And she was like, oh, my God, I just saw Evil Dead Rise and it was so good. And we spent probably like a good 20 minutes just talking about our favorite bits. And she had only seen, I think, Evil Dead. She had only seen one of them. I don't think she had seen the older ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was going back and watching them with her roommates. And she was like, it's just so weird, but I love how just intense it is. And I just really like seeing two sides of this,
right,
same coin.
The love and hate.
Yeah. And that's what made me think, maybe, you know, I was smiling, laughing during all the buckets of blood when an elevator opened up and it was like a scene from The Shining.
Yeah.
And Jasmine was just like, I hated it. So that was a lot of fun. I still 100% am so excited about this movie. I love talking about it. And I definitely plan. I haven't seen it again yet. It's just timing wise.
I'm surprised.
I know. I'm not sure if I'm going to buy it on streaming or if I'm just going to wait for the physical, because it probably comes with like a streaming code.
Right.
But I definitely am adding this to my collection. I have all of them already.
I do love that you used to give me all of your digital copies.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to my digital library, it's like, what the hell? And it's all these like horror movies and like crazy like Crank and action movies and stuff.
But not Crank.
Like, well, it's because it's all Steve's movies. And they're like, oh, that makes sense.
Well, you know, I have offered you my Vudu. So now that exactly. way you don't have to look at it on yours. You can just log into mine and you don't have like your wife being like, what? Why do you watch this terrible shit?
What is this?
You don't have to try and explain to her. It's Steve's Hellraiser collection. Oh,
sorry.
Moving along, we have some exciting news. We're revisiting some old Horror Hour topics that we just, you know, it's the gift that keeps on giving. We have Winnie the Pooh back in the Horror Hour. We have this. It's the licensing that went into the public domain. And we have something else that is coming soon. And it's a video game this time. And I don't really have a lot to say about it other than I needed to show it to you because just I love how much you love all of the things that are coming.
So good. It's like the, so you just showed me this trailer.
Yes, it is called 100 Acre Wood. And it is a Lovecraftian FPS that's coming soon to Steam.
What I would call it is a perfect example of why this kind of thing is annoying to me, which is, well, why don't we just slap that IP on top of some bullshit that we're doing? And no offense to whoever's ever game that is. But if it didn't have just a signpost that said 100 Acre Wood and and the voiceover, nothing to do with, at least in the trailer, it shows like a hands like first person shooter, like you said, someone holding like a shotgun wandering through like a low poly forest. And that's it. That's the only footage it shows. It shows him like shooting a thing once, I think. And then the voiceover is like, oh, I bet you're wondering, Christopher Robin stuck in a honey jar. Watch out for the. It's like, what are you talking about? The whole trailer was just like a low resolution. It felt like a parody to me of video games. I was like, nothing. This doesn't seem like a playable game.
Jeff, you must have missed the very last scene when you saw a bear in the distance and you heard a bear roar.
Oh.
So obviously that's
maybe Eeyore. That's Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yeah. Winnie the Pooh. Here's a description for this game. You play as Christopher Robin, who is trapped within a twisted version of the titular forest, which has been altered by an otherworldly power. Making matters worse is that you're being hunted by an old childhood friend in Winnie the Pooh. It's up to you to escape with the help of eldritch beasts.
Yep.
That were once familiar faces. Those familiar faces being Eeyore, Rabbit, Owl, Kanga, and Piglet, who don't quite look like what you remember.
You know why? It's because they already made the assets, and then they're like, oh, fuck, we should do Winnie the Pooh. We'll just say that that's who that is.
You'll have to run, hide, platform, solve problems, and shoot your way through the 100 Acre Wood as you explore its regions. Do whatever it takes to avoid Winnie the Pooh as you sneak past the hostile creatures hiding in the darkness. Along the way, you'll discover the ruins of a once innocent child's refuge as you uncover ancient secrets hinting at a reality beyond human comprehension. So I had not honestly read that. And yeah.
Is that what you got from that trailer too?
I just thought
that
it
beautiful
was
trailer.
Funny. But as soon as you're like, yep, they just slapped some faces on an IP. And yeah, that's exactly what it sounds
like.
Because
they didn't even show
anything.
At least show one of the creatures
I'm not
in
sure.
the trailer.
Yeah, you're shooting something, but I don't think you actually see what you're shooting.
Yeah, it's just like,
are you shooting
like
one
some
of them?
Trees? I was like, okay.
I just like the idea that it's like a Lovecraftian type deal. I've mentioned many times before that I'm a big Lovecraftian fan. Mm-hmm. And just because we've been getting so much shit pumped out under the Winnie the Pooh IP, I'm just been jumping on board left and right. Clearly, I've been bringing it up every fucking week.
Like if the art style was Lovecraftian,
it's
and it actually showed some characters from Winnie the Pooh, I'd at least be like, okay.
We saw a bear, dude.
Still annoyed by dumb horror kid stuff being turned into Tim Allen?
No, that was my bear. That was Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, you scared me for a second.
Uh-huh.
That would be a scary.
Oh,
that'd be a scary video game.
Being chased by Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Ooh, and then the final boss is his neighbor eyeballs make him looking over your fence.
Oh, fuck.
And every time he puts his eyes over the fence, that's when you have to shoot him in the eyeballs.
Yeah, it's like
that's
the only Zelda. Time
he does damage. Yeah.
You like hit the fence until he peers over and then you shoot him in the eyes.
Well,
so
I got nothing else to really say about that. Other than that, there's a horror Winnie the Pooh game coming out. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, everyone go watch the trailer.
It's just called 100 Acre Wood.
You'll be as angry as I am about it.
It's hard to find, honestly, so you might not even find it on YouTube, but it's out there. Moving into the TV area of things, we have an update on the final season of Stranger Things. Now, unfortunately, due to the writer's strike, it has been paused and put on hold, which is a bit of a bummer because I believe they're about to start working on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Haven't they been writing it?
I think they've been writing it. Yeah, production was set to begin very soon.
Pre-production, gotcha.
But with this writer's strike happening, yeah, I don't really know anything when it comes to Hollywood politics or anything like that, but how's about everyone just pays people for the job that they're meant to do?
Yeah. I know a little bit about it and I'm fully in support of the strike.
I mean, I feel like no matter what, you probably should be. If there's mm-hmm. a strike going on, it's probably
right.
For
usually it's
reason.
Like, okay.
Like you need writers to do things. Mm-hmm. That's how everything's made.
Yeah. You know? They're paying them like 25% less than they were 10 years ago or something like that.
Sick. So yeah, these people who are creating these things that we all enjoy, giving actors a job, giving directors things to direct,
yeah.
are the ones not being paid properly.
Which is pretty tight.
Yeah, as they say in Hollywood, right?
Right.
Ooh, that's tight Hollywood.
Ooh, that's spicy tight. That's what they say in Hollywood.
I just thought we were like shock jocks for a second.
Ooh.
Ooh. That's tight. Wish we had more buttons.
Yeah, we don't have a soundboard for
like a big old fart.
Shock jock.
That's what I call a real stinker.
Oi!
Who needs a sound button when I have you, Jeff? Am I losing my title of the man of 1,000 mouths?
Uh-oh. Oh, I don't want that. Are you saying that's mine? No, I don't want it. Don't give that to me. You can have 1,000 mouths.
I think that was my title from like an episode way back in the day.
I think so too.
Man of 1,000 moist mouths.
Ew. Gross. Why?
I don't really remember. But that's what happens when you record 50 episodes, huh?
That's right.
Excuse me, not 50 episodes. We do this for a year. Technically-ish 50.
Right. Well, it's because, so if we didn't fully explain, but really quick, it's because we've done commentary episodes and we don't count those.
There's
so while
trailer.
This is, I think, the 50th thing that we've published, we're not counting these as episodes. So
we brought this
we'll
up
see you in like four
of,
episodes.
Last week's episode, too.
Yeah.
Anyways, it just anyway. Sort of bums me out because I really enjoyed the last season of Stranger Things. It was really cool. It was dark. There was some really good like character moments and it's going to be the very last season, I guess, you know, of the main
show. I'm sure
it'll
get made.
Oh, it will.
It just postponed a little
bit.
It
just makes me think of the last time there was a writer's strike in Hollywood that I was very aware of, and it
ended up
impacting shows like Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Although I didn't mind that season where they're traveling through time, like, whoa, we're in different lives, whoa.
Oh, yeah, that was goofy.
Although then there was season 2 of Heroes that started off like super good, and then this writer's strike happened, and then they ended up like with a 12 episodes instead of 24, and then it got really weird, and they changed an entire storyline. Jeff, are you okay? What's going on? Did you just get a hair pulled out of the headphones that you're wearing?
Yeah, these headphones are pulling my hair out.
Can you make them any longer?
Yeah, I'm going to try and just make it really tall so it doesn't touch the top of my head.
Sorry,
maybe
man.
Maybe it won't pull out my hair.
We got Jeff headphones to wear now. I gave him my old ones. We're both wearing like actual over-the-ear headphones.
Yay. I've been wearing earbuds this whole time.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is the main thing I remember from the writer's strike, the last big one, like you said, was Conan's show.
Yeah.
Where he didn't have writers and he would just like, he had a segment where he would spin his wedding ring on his desk. It was so good.
That's awesome.
He grew a beard.
I remember that.
He just like, we're just going to do whatever the fuck we want.
Was that when he also like left TV for a little while and like did his
possibly
show on tour or whatever?
Yeah. And he was in full support of it and everything. Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to write content for this. Like,
because then he's taken away, you know, a job. I respect that. I've always liked Conan.
He's cool.
Super funny. You saw him live once, right?
A handful of times.
Sick. I'm so jealous, man.
James and I went and saw Robin Williams on Conan. Hopefully, you know, Conan gets into the world of horror a little bit. And so we can talk about him some more.
Speaking of horror, this is, I guess, more in the Conan area, actually. We just watched a trailer that is sort of horror-y, and it literally just came out like an hour before we just started recording this.
You're talking about The Meg 2?
I'm talking about The Meg 2, The Trench.
Now, The Meg 2. The Trench.
Jeff, did you ever see the Meg original Meg?
No, I did not.
I only saw bits and pieces of it, but I pretty much know everything that goes on. It's pretty much just Jason Statham fights a giant megalodon.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? You know what the twist in that movie was?
What?
There was actually two megalodons.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. So we just watched the trailer for the sequel to that movie, and man, they are upping everything up. The trailer starts off, it's like, oh, back in the time when there was like the really apex predators, whatever. It shows like a dinosaur. And
yeah,
it goes
T-Rex.
To the water, yeah, and it eats a fish. And then all of a sudden you just see this fucking massive megalodon eat the T-Rex.
Which is like, what are you doing on the coast? That doesn't make sense.
You dumb idiot.
You're way too big.
Dinosaur. What are you doing?
How do you couldn't get that close to the coast without us seeing you? You're huge.
Then the trailer leads us into...
It's just a beached megalodon. Just like dead and rotting on the shore.
It's like, well, I got my T-Rex.
Yeah.
Now what? The trailer then moves into Jason Statham is back. I like that it kind of just started off with him doing some pull-ups and someone shows up like, we need you back in the water,
Jason
Statham.
It's time.
And he's like, all right, I'm Jason Statham.
People keep asking me, does that sound like him? People keep asking me if I'm back. Yeah, I'd say I'm back.
That sounds more Australian than Jason Statham.
That was just a clip from the movie I was playing.
Wow, that was really good. Yeah, I didn't realize you had your phone hanging up to the microphone there. Well, he essentially is with the team now, and the trench is opened up again, and they go down to investigate it, and then pretty much his team dies.
Kaijus come out of there.
Sort of looks like it. There's, I think, a giant squid that we see. I think there was a giant squid in the first one, so maybe there's like another
squid.
Maybe
it's like
an
unofficial spinoff from Pacific Rim.
Could be. I mean, they could technically connect Pacific Rim and the Godzilla movies.
And they were wearing little like mech suits underwater and moving around like, by the way, they weren't underwater. No. They're just like, clomp, clomp, clomp. Hey, what's going on?
There's a shot of a man who puts on a mech suit or like a mini mech suit. And you just said out loud, oh, God.
Yeah, it was like
he breaks a piece of rock.
Yeah, he like karate chops the thing. It's like, we don't need this.
I think my favorite line or my favorite bit was when you see three megalodons. Well, I guess they find the ultimate megalodon because they call
right,
it the
like
ultimate
the big,
one.
The big boy.
The biggest of the big. And he's got like scars all over him. And then there's a shot of three really fast swimming megalodons going towards a beach. And then you hear Jason Statham say, they're hunting in packs now. I was like, oh, like velociraptors.
Yeah. And then there's a scene where one of them like, pops out of the water and is like eating a pier for some reason and he stops it with his foot. He's like, yeah, that makes sense. Jason Statham's single leg is probably stronger than one of the biggest creatures in existence.
So it does seem like there are now just megalodons left and right. And when this trailer ended, I said, that looks .. awesome. And I don't think you expected that reaction from me.
Yeah, I don't know if we share that opinion.
I mean, it doesn't look good. It looks awful.
At least you can tell they know.
It looks fun though to be.
They're like, we know this isn't serious.
Yeah. I think that's the vibe I got from the first one. They weren't trying to be like overly serious, but maybe still a little like action-y.
It's almost like just big budget Sharknado, you know? It's like.
And that's what this at least trailer comes across is they're like, all right, we're just going goofy and over the top because we have Jason Statham in this movie for some reason. Maybe he accidentally signed a contract that he
Stallone
didn't need to.
Stallone shows up at some point. Schwarzenegger's there. It's just like Expendables, but with big sharks.
He's like, all right, I didn't tell you guys my real name. My real name is Jason Christmas because that's his character's name in Expendables
really?
Christmas.
Oh,
something
God.
Christmas, yeah.
Those movies are so bad.
Remember that line that he says in the Expendables 3 where he's like, I now pronounce you man and knife. And he throws a knife at somebody's head.
Oh.
Because, you know, like man and wife.
Yeah. I never watched those movies.
Oh, that first one's really good. I haven't watched it since then.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
By the power vested in me, I now pronounce you man and knife.
Well, we will give up more updates or give more updates on this movie, I think, as it comes. Maybe we'll watch it. Maybe we won't. Maybe this is the last time we'll ever mention it. Maybe we'll watch the Meg 1 original Meg for a commentary or something. If anyone has any interest in hearing us watch that movie, I mean, I think it's sort of horror-y. I think sharks can be terrifying.
Well, what's your guys' vote?
Yeah, let us know.
Is this horror?
Consider Jaws to be a horror movie. Honestly, I think it's very well shot and very horror-y in lots of aspects, especially if you don't like sharks. I think I even had like a poll on the Instagram and most people voted yes for that. So if anyone would want to hear us talk about that, please let us know. One final bit of horror hour news I have for us here is some Blair Witch Project updates. Now, as everyone, I hope, knows that I absolutely hate the Blair Witch movie. I think it is a bad movie. I think it is dumb. It is slow. And I actually kind of really want to talk about it on the podcast. And I just need to twist your arm a little bit. Jeff, are you eating that?
The cookie? OG. I was reaching for a cookie. You said Blair Witch. And I was like, you know what? Cookie time.
Yeah, the original OG Blair Witch. It really.
You did say you wanted to watch it. It upsets
me. It really upsets me. The last time I watched it, I got mad.
We should just watch like a YouTube recap.
But I kind of want to just watch like a trash movie and just shit on it.
Yeah.
But then I'd feel really bad for people who actually like it. So maybe we won't do that. But there is some updates on a movie. There is some talk about a follow-up film coming up, I think. There was the sequel, Blair Witch, Shadow of Books or something. Book of Shadows, my bad.
Shadow of Books. Spooky.
Oh, a book shadow. And then there was also a sequel in 2016, I think, which I didn't mind because it wasn't found footage and it wasn't, I don't know, I don't think I actually saw
it. It was more of a teen rom-com and it was called I'm the Blair Witch, bitch.
Called
yeah,
that
see,
one.
You saw that one.
I did. But the third one I thought was sort of fun because it incorporated time travel and it did connect to the first one. And I'm a sucker for time travel. Yeah.
Okay.
It's, I think, the girl's brother. The girl from the first one, her brother goes looking for her and he ends up in
the
forest.
We have to go back. We have to go back.
Lost.
I'm so afraid right now.
And he ends up in the house from the first one. It was interesting, but I don't really remember it. Apparently, Oliver Park has been hired to direct the untitled Blair Witch sequel for Lionsgate and is reportedly targeting a late summer slash fall shoot. That is the only information that I have. Is this something I'd be interested in learning more about? Absolutely. I did also play the Blair Witch video game, which freaked me out.
Yeah, that was terrifying. I played just a minute of it and I didn't like it.
You played the Exorcist one.
Oh, that's right. I always mix the two up.
The Blair Witch one was
scary
one where
little
I had a
girls,
little dog.
Which is whatever.
Yeah, it was okay. I never finished it. I'm probably not going to go back to it just because I haven't charged my.
Is the witch's name Blair?
Hopefully. Hmm. Hey, what's up, Blair? She's like, what up?
Ooh. And you're like, all right,
peace out, Blair.
Later.
I see why no one wants to hang out
the
with
Emily me. Witch Project.
Who's Emily?
The new witch.
The new witch. Well, I think that is about it. If anyone has any more updates on the Blair Witch Project untitled coming up thing, let us know. We'll report on that as more comes up. And that
one of these days we'll have a scoop.
I hope so. If anybody has scoops, send them our way. I would love a Hurwitz's House of Horror exclusive.
Yeah, hey, even if you're like
exclusive.
Me and my three friends are making a horror movie. It's called Underneath the Basement Floors. We'll be like, all right, cool, exclusive.
Hell yeah. We'll be the first report on that. Like, you know, leak us some news. We won't
we'll link
give any names.
To your film on our thing.
Yeah.
You know, all that.
Big scoops, baby.
Yeah.
Anything else on your end, Jeff, you'd like to talk about before moving to this week's movie?
I'd rather not talk about my end on the podcast, but so we'll just move on.
So cute.
To the movie. It's a little.
Ooh. Well, Jeff, since we are celebrating our 1 year anniversary here, we're going into the Friday the 13th series once again. One of my favorite series is one of my favorite franchises is with, I think, some pretty great movies. And I don't know if what I'm about to say is true, but I'm going to say it. I think it's been a hot second since we've kind of ventured into a classic slasher.
Yeah, I feel like since Halloween, the new Halloween that we saw in theaters.
Kills
possibly.
And or Halloween Ends.
Halloween
huh?
Ends, maybe?
I feel like they're, yeah, probably.
I don't know.
And this just, like, something about, like, these movies have always given me comfort. I've told you many times, horror movies give me comfort. And the Friday the 13th ones just have such a formula to them.
Yeah, you find comfort in the pain of strangers?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, I do. Because I'm like, huh, that's not me. I feel so much better about myself. So this is one that I am a really big fan of. And I just want to show you something real quick, Jeff. Look at this great shirt that I'm wearing.
Uh-oh. Keep your clothes on. Oh, whew, scared me. That is pretty good. Wait. The mic's covered. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad they really got almost every character in there.
This week we are...
I mean, it's fitting.
Sort of going into a new beginning. Which I guess a year.
That's right.
Time for a new
beginning.
Episode.
And it is Monday after all.
It is, or it's a new episode for the new week for this new year.
Maybe there's even a new intro.
There might be.
You'll have to tell us.
Yeah, me or you?
What's up?
Huh?
Oh, I'm so scared right now.
Jeff, do you want to tell us what movie we're watching this week?
Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning.
From 1985, directed by Danny Steinman.
The mindless, murderous fury that was buried with Jason has been reborn.
Pete!
And suddenly, terror has become child's play. Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning.
So, what may have just felt like no time for you listeners there was actually about 25 minutes that Jeff and I just lost of our recording.
Ooh, it's like time travel.
Except we don't get any of the fun bits of it.
So on our end, we're about to redo about 20 minutes of the podcast.
There's this whole bit where I came in wearing sunglasses and this really like heavy jacket.
Really snazzy jacket.
It's a really cool jacket too.
Yeah,
it's,
I like it.
It's a Friday the 13th Part 5 A New Beginning jacket.
I mean, in theme for the episode.
And it has the mask on the back. I'm going to show Jeff just again.
And I'm going to react for the first time. Whoa!
Something. I'm a cool guy, right?
Yeah.
Did I say I was wearing sunglasses? Because that was really cool.
Yeah, you're wearing some aviators.
I've been wearing this jacket the whole fucking time,
I thought it was
too.
Tom Cruise when you came in.
Whoa. Hey, I ain't no part of some cult.
Yeah, that's true.
Excuse me, religion.
Mr. Cruise.
And the gods above. Anyways. Let's go right back into it because we're here for you guys, you listeners.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to not do the next 20 minutes with just in monotone, defeated voices. We're going to try and keep up the energy.
Let's have it. Speaking of the energy, Jeff, bring us right back in this episode with the Jeff summary of the movie.
Oh, yay. Woo. I get to do the Jeff summary again.
Woo.
Hey, okay, so let me grab the box.
I'm Will Smith. Woo. Remember how he does woo and ha-ha. Like all this stuff? Woo.
Like that too.
I'm done.
Ha-ha. I guess I'll just read the Jeff summary off the back of the box.
Please and thank you.
This movie stars older guy playing part of Corey Feldman in the role of
Tommy Jarvis.
Jarvis, right? I just learned how to read.
There was a bit about reading too, huh?
Yeah.
That's funny.
That might still be in there?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, hey kids.
Learn how to read. Yada, yada.
Yada, yada. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Let's get past that part. So yeah, we follow this dude. He's going to a new agey mental recovery place. This really does feel weird.
I don't mean to
keep
butting in. I'm so sorry, man.
No, it's just like, didn't I already say this? It's like, yep, you did. Anyway. Tommy goes to, after killing Jason in the last movie, to save his sister and then everyone calling him a monster for, self-defense. He loses his mind. He has to go to this institute where it's mainly just like teenagers fucking in the woods. And they're like, we got no guards here. It's totally cool. And then because of that, or at least makes it a little easier, Jason? Question mark. A masked killer murders a bunch of people, potentially. We'll see.
Some might
say, spoiler alert,
it's the start of a new beginning.
New beginning?
And speaking of a new beginning, first of all, Jeff, bravo. As always,
your
summaries are unparalleled to anything I've ever experienced in my life. They're beautiful.
It's poetry.
I was going to say a Shakespeare thing, but I decided not to.
I saw you gear up. I saw you do the physical Shakespeare part of it. But then
up.
It didn't fully get to the performance.
Sure didn't. Well,
speaking of new beginnings,
in theme of a new beginning, this movie.
This is excuse me. I'm going to talk over you again.
Okay.
Speaking, I'm going to take what you were saying.
Yeah.
I'm not even just talking over you. I'm going to be like, hey, what you're saying, that gave me an idea. Speaking of new beginnings, this is kind of a new beginning for us because we already had a fucking beginning and now we're doing a new one. So anyway.
Mm hmm.
After you, good sir.
This movie kicks off with us not having a 7 to 10 minute reintroduction of the last movie.
Thank God.
It just kicks off right into this new movie.
Fast paced. Rain's falling. Corey's in a rain jacket. The real Corey.
It's Right.
Little boy Corey.
He's running through and he's going to Jason's grave for some reason. I guess he just wants to check it out.
Yeah, just wants to hang.
But before he gets there, he sees two kids show up. And let me tell you, they are
rapscallions
having the time of their lives. They show up and they're like, yeehaw.
Woo-ha! Yo! Woo, woo, woo! Yeah. Dig them up! Dig, 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 dig!
Yahoo!
Woo!
And they are just there to dig up Jason's grave for some reason.
My theory is they had the scene where they're just digging up the grave and like, fuck, this is boring. Like, can you guys like
do something?
Just liven it up a little bit. And I'm like, oh, woo. It's like,
they're like, oh, we have creative control here. Okay.
Sure, man.
Ah,
oh, fuck. They're like, whoa, no.
Tone it down.
Just some excitement.
And they continue to dig up Jason's grave and Corey Feldman, Dommy Jarvis watches from a distance.
Yeah, pretty quickly they dig up this shallow grave, mm-hmm. pop the top off, and there he is, mask and all, worms crawling in and out of his mask eye holes.
And I really did like that bit. It was a cool imagery, just worms coming
out.
Yeah,
that could have been like a poster.
Mm-hmm. And as soon as they open that grave, they spend like a solid 30 seconds just staring at it.
They're like, this is as far as our plan got.
They're like, now what?
The whooping is over. No one's yelling dig. They're just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's raining. That's it.
That's what I thought would be in there.
And then, conveniently, Jason was buried with his machete.
His hand, his wrist twists. Something about that was kind of goofy to me. Like, and he just turns his hand and there's a machete. And
it's just like perfectly angled so that it shows. Oh, yeah, no, there it is. He has that.
Oh, here it is.
And we have back-to-back kills immediately.
Number one and number two.
So one of them just gets the machete to the stomach, and then the second one gets it to the throat.
Yeah, and these kills were fairly tame in my... Like, I remember it being more gruesome in the earlier movies. Like, Kevin Bacon getting it through the neck and stuff. You see, like, blood gurgling. This was kind of more of like a stage killing.
Yeah.
Like, it went into his shirt, and there's kind of maybe some blood.
Maybe
so
a
I was like,
bit.
This seems like it'll be a tamer experience.
Well, speaking of that, this is not, or the special effects and the practical effects were not done by Tom Savini in this movie. Unfortunately, after the last
one,
he left. And I will stand by saying that number one, definitely, like, especially after rewatching that a couple of months ago, I got it on Blu-ray and I put it on just for fun. Like, those kills are pretty intense. And like, you see the axe, you know, go into people's heads and stuff. And ever since that one, we've talked about how the MPAA has cut down on kills. And this movie, unfortunately, suffers from that drastically.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the big things about this movie that I need to bring up just right now is that all of these kills were much more gory. They were much more intense and you saw so much more. But this movie, I guess, got an X rating on its initial
like submittal or whatever.
Submission to the movie studios. And so they had to cut it down. I think you said it was 9 times.
I believe so. Yeah.
And that included all of these kills that, you know, people put so much time and work and effort into.
Sucks.
And you can really tell, especially like this movie has kills left and right. And I love that.
What's funny is I read that the director added extra gore and violence and a way more nudity.
Yeah.
So that he would submit it and they would be like, all right, you need to cut it back. And then he'd get what he actually wanted.
That's not a bad idea.
But then what happened was the studio, before they even submitted it, was like, no. And they cut back a bunch.
Yeah.
And then the MPAA cut back even more. So he's like, fuck. It like backfired and it got like way less than he wanted. He's
that
like,
well, sucks.
This sucks. Yeah. And so the gore got like way toned down.
Well, speaking of the director there, let's talk about him for a quick second.
Crazy Kook.
This is a movie. Well, his initial background in movies, he started off in X-rated movies. And you
little adult films
kind of tell that throughout this movie. Once we get past this opening bit, it becomes a much more, you use the word trashy. And I think that sums up everything perfectly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There is so much nudity. And like I said, there are so many kills. I think this has like some of the most kills in the Friday the 13th movie up to this one. And I love that, but there are some bits where it's just like, this feels not necessarily like a horror movie.
Yeah, the vibe, even like not even necessarily, I mean, the level of nudity, obviously.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I'm referring to.
But
like,
then also even the vibe of it seemed a little bit like, huh, like it felt like certain scenes, I'm like, this feels like a vintage, like an old school intro to a porn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, well, it's because that's he's done that before. That's kind of his style.
Fun fact, this director actually did some executive producing on a movie called Spectre, which was, let's just say, Gene Roddenberry had a little bit of work on that movie.
Wait, why is that name so familiar?
Gene Roddenberry. I think he created a small show or series you may have heard of called...
Star Trek!
Here's a fun fact for you guys. I forgot to mention that in the first recording, so that may have worked out perfectly.
That's why.
Fate intervened and said, those 20 minutes you recorded, fuck that.
Yeah.
Star Trek references are
It's worth it for the Star Trek reference. Yeah. Redo it.
And we did.
And we're here grinding through that first 20 minutes for the second time.
Going back into the movie now, Jason is up and out of the grave. He approaches Tommy, and Tommy is too scared
frozen
to do
fear.
Anything. And he's just going like,
just can't rain on his glasses, the nerd.
And Jason walks right up to him,
raises his arm,
and
whoosh. But then,
oh my God.
Oh, I just woke from a dream and I have similar glasses to when I was a young child. So it must be the same character, even though I'm a completely different actor.
And many years older than
yeah,
the gap
I'm a
that
full
we're given.
Adult.
We are now 5 years in the future. This is Tommy. He is older and he is being transported to a small little rehabilitation center slash halfway house called Pinehurst. Now, before we go any further, a little fun fact. The scenes with Tommy Jarvis, what's his name? Corey Feldman. Can't believe I forgot his name. The scenes with Corey Feldman, those are all filmed in his backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty funny and a little unfortunate because they wanted Tommy Jarvis. They wanted Corey
Feldman.
For like
the whole thing, right?
Yeah. He was supposed, or they had intended for him to be in this movie completely. But unfortunately, he was a rising name at this point. You told me he was filming what?
The Goonies.
Right.
Which, I mean... Probably. Not to say anything bad about this movie, but...
Which you never would.
It's the Goonies.
Yeah.
What a great decision.
So I'm glad they were able to get him at least for one day to bridge these two movies together.
Mm-hmm.
And this opening is the only thing that really feels like the old, like the movies 1 through 4.
Yeah, totally.
And I like that they have this in between, this interlude into whatever this next movie becomes.
Yeah, it's kind of a little transition, a little like, hey, remember the good times?
Mm-hmm. And
now like we're going into porno, Jason.
Like the kills even reminded me that just felt like the older ones a mm-hmm. little bit. And I don't know how they established the atmosphere in this small scene and then kind of changed to something else. But I like that we had a little bit of something, you know, changing of the guard.
Right. And you did mention that this was shot in his backyard?
Yes.
You did say that just now? Okay, mm-hmm. cool. I don't know if I'm just having double memory from
you
when
probably
we recorded the first time. But what a big shot move.
Yeah.
To be like, yeah, I'll be in the beginning of the movie, but you got to come to my house. It's like, damn, the whole production has to go to your house?
That kid had power.
You can just drive to the studio?
Mm-hmm. Also, the rain jacket and the boots that he was wearing were his as well.
He's like, I'm putting in zero fucking effort for this, okay?
He's like, it's actually raining outside of my house. I'm just going
to
wear this.
Yeah, they're you're like, lucky to have me. So
they're like, yes, Mr. Feldman.
Anything.
Well, we now go into the opening credits of this movie. We have the Friday the 13th logo, and then all of a sudden we have a new mask smashing through, exploding it. And this mask is a little different than the ones we've seen in the past.
Hmm.
This one has blue triangles on it instead of the red one. And the mask turns, and we start to see through the mask. And I like that because it's like, are we seeing through the mask? Are we the killer?
Are we, Jason?
Are we seeing what this killer is seeing? Who is this? Because
is this a new perspective on...
A new beginning, yeah. Might say, because Jason died. He's dead. He said he was dead.
He's dead.
So Tommy arrives at the facility and he is introduced to Pam Roberts. She is the assistant director. And I really like this actor. She is pretty good, in my opinion, compared to some of
yeah,
the other actors
so
in this. I don't think we've mentioned yet that pretty much all of the actors in this movie had no idea they were going to be filming a Friday the 13th movie. They were told it was called Repetition.
Repetition.
Yeah. And so they had all signed on, and it wasn't until afterwards that they learned that they now had to be in a Friday the 13th
which
movie.
Is so shitty.
Well, some of them were excited and others weren't.
Yeah.
This actor who played Pam Roberts, I'm just going to pull up her name, Melanie Kinnaman, she was a little disappointed at first, but then in a quote that reminded me of something that Christopher Lee had said, you may be in a bad movie, but you don't have to be bad in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sort of took that mantra and she committed her all, and I enjoyed most of it, although there were a few parts where I think she may have gone a little too hard in some
which
of her
you
scenes.
Know could always be the directing.
That's true.
Like, I've seen a lot of great actors in shit ass roles, and I always usually blame the director in that case.
That's fair.
And this guy sounded like an absolute nightmare. He was apparently like coked up the entire time and verbally abusive to people, and the cinematographer had to like take over directing certain things, and it was just like chaos on the set. So
that's fun, huh? One quick fact about John Shepherd too, the actor who plays Tommy Jarvis in this now,
mm-hmm.
he also, I mean, again, everyone had no idea
was
they
tricked,
were in a Friday the 13th
tomfoolery
movie. A little bit. So he read the part, the role, and he knew that his character had been like disturbed and had gone through some shit and was experiencing hallucinations and all this. So John Shepherd actually went to mental institutions and like spent time there studying people and trying to get into character. And he ended up going a bit method on this mm-hmm. too. And then he was one who was just like, are you kidding me? When he learned that it was a Friday the 13th movie.
He's like, fucking A, I did all that work for the fifth movie in a series.
Without
a horror movie series.
Yeah. He did end up staying method in pretty much most of the filming for this movie, which did cause a little bit of a rift between him
boo.
And some of the other actors. And yeah, I went on a little bit of a rant about method acting last time, but I'm going to skip by that this time. I just got to say, you know what? Cool. What happened to just read? I'm ranting.
Yeah.
What happened to just reading like lines in a script and giving it your all?
Yeah,
like,
just yeah, act.
Because,
you know?
All right, here's something
else. You don't
have
to be the character.
Something that Mads Mikkelsen said that really made me laugh. He's like, I understand method acting, but what if it's bad? What if the movie you're in is bad?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's referring to Jared Leto. I don't want to get back into that situation. We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
But it's true.
We gave you enough airtime, Jared.
You're done. We also meet Matt Leonard, I think was his name. He essentially is the guy who runs the whole place. You may recognize him as the man who gave Indiana Jones when he was
wait,
a kid.
His fedora?
His fedora. How did you know, Jeff?
Wait. I feel like you've told me this before.
Deja vu? Are we in the Denzel Washington movie Deja Vu?
Whoa!
Hey, Denzel.
Hey, my name's Denzel Washington. Take my hat. You be Indiana Jones.
Oh, thank you, Indiana. I mean, thank you, Denzel. The classic line. So we do learn. I think you did mention that this is a bit of a facility where it's you're on the honor system. There aren't really guards around. They just be on your best behavior, and like no one's keeping you there. So,
which at first I was kind of like, what? That's dumb. But I guess it makes sense if it's, like you were saying, it's more of a rehabilitation. It's probably the end in a long run of other institutes, and you've been deemed safe enough to be here, which may backfire.
Backfire real quick.
Yeah. We meet
Reggie the Reckless. His grandfather, I think, is the cook or the groundskeeper there.
Yeah.
And he meets Tommy. And I got to say, this kid is probably the best actor in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's great.
He nails it. Great actor. Great. Just fun character too.
Very fun character. And usually kids in movies annoy me.
Oh yeah.
But God, this guy did awesome.
He killed it. We get a glimpse at a little thing that ties Tommy to his previous Corey Feldman character.
Yes.
He pulls a bunch of like his special effects masks out of his bag, which shout out to James for, I remember him being extra angry at the fact that Corey was like, for no reason, seemingly a master of special effects. So yeah, they carried that through into this new movie.
It's all about that continuity, man.
Yeah.
We also see that Tommy has a little knife that he keeps with him and he hides that. And I think he said a funny bit, like they let him have that. And
it's like he has a fucking knife. It's like a pretty hefty looking knife.
We came back to the conclusion. Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, you're there of your own accord, which I do like. If you want to be at this place at Pinehurst,
you can bring knives if you want.
But oh, you can bring knives if you want.
Yeah,
exactly where I was going. At this point, the police show up and they drop off two characters, Tina and Eddie. We learn that they just love having sex.
That's
and
their whole character.
Pretty much.
Both of them.
The police pick them up off of a neighbor's property. We learn that the neighbors are not a fan of this facility here. and we're introduced to two of the worst characters of any movie I have ever met. But also, they definitely leave a mark. They are memorable characters. We're introduced to Ethel and Junior.
Now, so fucking annoying.
I did mention, I think a couple episodes ago, we had the passing of Carol Locatell. She is Ethel in this movie. She is, I think, honestly, great in this role. She's such an annoying character, but she brings such
I would say,
a performance to it.
You know, maybe she was a great person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've seen her in anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a great actor. Didn't want her in this movie, tell you that much.
She, how would you describe these characters?
More than just calling them annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I'd call them
the word
cartoonish.
Loud. Cartoonish, yeah.
Very,
cartoonish,
loud. Very fucking loud. They scream everything. They're covered in dirt, which is like, why? Head to toe. Very much like, mama, boo-goo. It's like, what are you doing, dude? He wears a little flight, like leather cap and like suspenders, and it's like, I'm a dumb hillbilly. So fucking annoying. It's like, mama, something, something. And she's like, get back to the thing, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, oh, God, it's exhausting.
So from what I was reading, she wasn't given a lot to do in the script. So she made a lot of choices of her own to just ham it up.
Bad like, choices.
She, like, there was not a lot of cursing, and she just had her character using the F word left and right.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't given much direction, and she was the one who came up. She did, it looks, you know how it looks like she just has dirt on her
mm-hmm.
for no reason? That was kind of her contribution. She was given like some whatever makeup she was wearing. She's like, this is not what the character is. Her character is just a dirty, filthy person. So she just like put mud on herself and dirt.
And I will say,
the director was just like, go for it. Director apparently gave a lot of people free rein on this.
Yeah, I feel like that was a mistake. So far, everything you've listed, I'm like, those are all the things I hated the most about this character. Also, just unnecessary characters.
Yeah, they
could have
had anything.
Easily pulled the mama and son characters out, and this movie would have been like an extra star.
I'm thinking maybe it was just for more bodies for kills.
Oh, totally. And like just
unlikable characters.
Kind of what I'm assuming is supposed to be comic relief.
Let me just say this movie
and
just
bolstering
feels,
it, but
this movie feels like the 80s. Like at its peak slash worst. It's chaotic. It makes no sense. Everyone is too erratic. And I'm confused as to why and how I got here.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie captures that.
And it follows the trend of like, for some reason, horror movies. It was always like how everyone just has to be really obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone in this one, surprisingly, but a good majority of characters is like, I just have to be a huge obnoxious prick. It's like, oh, fun.
One of my favorite lines, too, is after Ethel has cursed out everybody being like, Matt, why? I hate that you have all of these criminals here. And the cops are like, all right, Ethel, get out of here. Ethel's like, I have a bomb on me.
Yeah, I was
just
like what
Jesus.
The fuck? She's like, if you get any closer, I'm going to blow everyone here.
Don't you come near me, Sheriff. I warn you. I got a bomb on me. I swear to you, you make one move toward me, I'm going to blow us all up.
Yeah.
And she's just like, what?
She just fucks off.
Right off on their little dirt bike.
Yeah.
It very much felt to me kind of how you felt in The Babysitter, where it was like, are you just hamming it up?
Mm-hmm. I hope.
It didn't feel funny to me as much as like, they're like, I don't know, we don't have anything for you, so just be weird.
I think that's essentially what I remember reading.
Right. So she'd show up and be like, I'm crazy. Look, dirt. And then leave. It was kind of like, okay. I don't know why that just happened.
The next scenes have us introduced to some of the other people who are at Pinehurst. We're introduced to Violet. You may recognize her by having cool alternative hair.
That's right.
A lot of makeup. Fun fact about her, she kind of came up with that design of her character. She got along really well with the costume designers and wanted to give her character more personality. So they ended up like going out shopping, and pretty much everything
cool.
She's wearing is things that she chose and, you know, help make her character, give her a little bit more.
She was very 80s.
She is the 80s at its core.
Yeah, I would say out of everyone, it's like, oh, you're fully an 80s character.
We are introduced to Robin, who she's just the quiet one.
I don't even remember who that is. That's how quiet she was.
So it's going to be Robin and Violet hanging up the laundry on the clothesline.
Right, she laughs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we are introduced to a character who I am just like, oof, this is rough. We're introduced to Joey. Now, let's just say Joey is the one who kicks off this entire murder spree that's about to happen.
Joey, this is saying something. I found Joey more annoying than the country town dirt people.
Mm-hmm. He's a little slow, but he's trying his best. He's
also just
chocolate bar.
Played that way, which makes it worse.
Yeah.
It's like they just smear chocolate. Like, it's not even in places where it would be. There's like chocolate smeared in the corner of his mouth, kind of.
Uh-huh.
He has a chocolate bar in each hand. He has chocolate bars in the pockets of his sweatshirt, in the pocket of his shirt. It's just like, nobody would do this.
I got to say.
They're like, so funny. It's like, ugh.
Looking over at you in the beginning of this movie, I was just like, this is a rough start for Jeff.
Yeah, if the movie continued this way, I'd be like, I know. Zero stars. I hated it.
Well, Joey is just trying to help, and he has chocolate all over his hands, and he gets it on the nice, clean clothes, and mm-hmm. Violet and Robin are like, get out of here. Nobody wants to hear Joey. So he goes over to a man who is chopping wood. This character's name is Vic, and he looks like a 40-year-old man.
Yeah, and he's annoying to him also, and he's like, I'm going to give you a chocolate bar, and then puts a chocolate bar on where the dude was axing, and then he axes it. Surprise! And then he's upset by that.
He says something too. He's like,
just forget it, but I think you're really out of line.
And that's what ends up setting off Vic. And we have, before we move on, I'm going to say that the two kills in the beginning did not count because they were a dream sequence. So this is officially kill number one.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree or not.
Interesting.
Because they're kills for us as a viewer.
Mm-hmm.
But in canon, they're not. That's an interesting one.
Interesting. I'm going to go off my list because it's here.
Okay. Okay.
So Vic axes Joey just straight in the back like a bunch.
Bunch of times. Yeah.
And Joey is dead.
Very dead.
Vic gets arrested. And we have a little backstory on Joey. Apparently, he came here months ago and he's an orphan and he has like no one to come and claim him. And so we have two EMTs show up and one is just like, oh, look at this dead guy. And he pulls off the sheet and you just see Joey's back is fucked up.
And like I think his arm was chopped off and it's just like on top of his body.
Mm-hmm. And then we have another EMT who his name is Roy. He looks over and he looks horrified and he's like, no, I don't want to look.
Other EMT is like, don't be such a pussy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool. Another super fun character in the world of Friday the 13th.
And then the two EMTs take his body away. It is now nighttime and we have two greasers whose car breaks down and they're just like, oh, fucking check my car, dude.
God damn it. I forgot about them. I fucking hate this movie.
Hey, now don't get too ahead of yourself.
Yeah. Oops. Spoiler.
So one of them goes to pee in the woods.
To poop, actually.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to go take a shit. It's not how he sounds.
And he goes off and the other one's trying to fix the car. And then we have kill number two. We have Vinny, who thinks his buddy Pete has come back with a flare in his hand. And he's like, Vinny, what are you doing? Or Pete, what are you doing? Vinny gets the flare straight into his mouth.
Which I felt like
we've seen before.
We've seen before in the newer
Halloween,
where they make a lantern out of a guy's head.
I thought the exact same thing.
I was like, oh, maybe that was a little nod to this movie. Probably not, but maybe.
Pete comes back and he
finds his friend fully keeled over, laying into the engine of the car. And he's like, did you get it working? Which is like, does it look like he did? It looks like he's a dead person.
It's dark. It's nighttime.
So he just walks by this body that's draped over an engine, gets in the car.
Starts revving it,
which is like,
your friend's in there.
Your friend's in the engine. He starts just singing a dumb song like, get into the beep, beep, boop, boop, revving the thing for, again, a scene that's, I don't want to just yell through this whole podcast, but this scene lasted way too long.
I agree.
I be driving on the scene, just for like 5 minutes. I'm like, what is this?
I'll tell you
what, gets it going.
Yeah. Let's end the scene then. And what happens? We have kill number three.
Thank God. I'm assuming Jason at this point. Reach, because we're not seeing him again. It's like someone in Jason attire.
Which I kind of like. We actually haven't seen.
It's very much like the earlier movies.
A face yet, or a mask, or anything. It's like just hands or like
boots
legs.
And hands.
Yeah.
And reaches forward and slits his throat. And
that was pretty cool.
Falls forward and hits the horn.
And he did.
Relief.
It's the next morning and we have Tommy. It's just pretty much shots showing that he is having hallucinations and that he's on medication, still dealing with the trauma that he experienced when he was a kid. It's now breakfast and we meet a few of the other people who go here. We have Jake, who has a stutter.
Mm-hmm.
We meet, I guess, Tina and Eddie Moore. They were the two that were having sex.
The lovebirds.
Yeah. And then Eddie pisses off Tommy pretty quickly by wearing one of his masks. And then Tommy just flips him into a fucking table. Which,
yeah, he just fully like body throws him into a table and shatters the table and starts beating him. I was like, that was hilarious.
That's awesome.
What an insane thing to do.
And you're like, huh, good thing they don't have security here, huh?
Yeah.
We're back with two of your favorite characters, Ethel and Junior. Yeah. It's just shots of them being gross and upsetting. Like one's eating soup and being like, ah, repeating everything that
just
his mom
food
says.
Dribbling out of his mouth, mm-hmm. Dirty people. Yeah, it's.
But this is an important scene. We need to talk about Jeff because we have a drifter come along and knock on the door. This scraggly looking man who's like balding.
I totally
wearing a wife
forgot
beater.
About that.
You shouldn't because he's very important.
Maybe. That's right.
We'll see. And Ethel's like, ah, do some work and I'll give you some food. And he's like, okay. Clearly he's been on the road and maybe up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
This is when the cops find the body of the greasers and they're like, oh, there's a maniac on the loose. And I think it might be a little later on, but they do end up coming to the conclusion that this is Jason for some reason. I don't really know why.
Me neither. I was going to ask you that.
No, I might have missed it. Maybe like, something
it's
like
Jason
that
Voorhees.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're crazy. He's dead. He's like, are you sure, Captain?
So this is one of my favorite scenes, not for like any good reason in particular. I just think it's so dumb and it goes back to the whole trashy. This is the 80s type movie.
Mm-hmm.
We meet Billy and Lana. So Billy was one of the people who dropped Tommy off at the beginning of the movie. And Lana is a waitress and their interaction is just insane. Billy comes to pick her up and she's like, oh, I got to finish getting ready. And her character is just like, woo, party time. Yeah. And then she goes in the bathroom and for no reason whatsoever, she opens up her shirt and looks at herself
just
in the
flashes
mirror.
Herself in the mirror.
And what does she say?
It's showtime, which apparently was her idea. She was like, that'd be funny.
Who's she talking to, though? Herself?
Yeah. That's this character. All she does is talk to herself. She's walking through the diner like, I'm going to go to a party later or whatever. It's like, what are you doing? So goofy. I read somewhere that this was supposed to be in.
Oh, part four?
Part four.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it got cut. So they just put it in this movie,
I guess.
I was like, oh, okay.
It's funny.
And the vibe is a little different.
I did get that feel, too. It felt, more like the older ones.
Yeah.
Billy says a funny line about snow flurries up his nose because he's just sitting in the car waiting, doing coke.
Mm-hmm.
And the forecast is cloudy in the mountains, sunny in the valleys, and snow flurries up your nose.
I think you did sort of mention there was a lot of coke use on set. And this actor, I was reading an interview that like everybody was using it at like all times.
Damn.
You know, they were also out partying and then they would just keep doing coke to keep going. And some of them, unfortunately, ended up developing issues from it. And he was one of the lucky ones, I guess. I remember him reading.
Oof, I wonder if that coke was real.
What he was doing wasn't, or what he says, it was, the fake stuff that he used in Hollywood.
Right.
But there were other cast members who were just doing it straight up. We now just get kill number four. Billy is getting really impatient and he starts yelling like, hey, where are you? And then he just gets an axe to the head. His body just disappears. Lana comes out and she's like,
Where are you? It's cold. And just gets in his car.
She finds his coke on the ground. She's like, oh.
Yeah, it's like scattered. Like there was something bad happened here. And she's like, you're going to waste it. And then like starts doing it off the ground of the car.
And in a shot that I did like, it's when she's leaning over. She looks out the car door window and you see two legs, boots, and then the axe that hit Billy. And there's blood dripping off. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that feels
again,
classic.
Yeah, this scene feels like the last movie. And I'm like, huh, weirdly makes me nostalgic for the previous movies.
Never thought I'd hear you say those words, Jeff. Well, she tries getting out of the car and she does manage to just for a quick second. And then she gets an axe straight into the stomach, I think, right?
Yeah.
We have kill number five.
And then it just shows her laying with axe protruding out of her as it zooms out.
The next scene we have is pretty much just a setup for Eddie and Tina's character to go have sex.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. This is the scene we sort of talked about where this definitely felt like this was a director who had done porn before.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
It's just like, huh, okay.
It felt very out of place, honestly.
Totally.
In this movie completely.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It didn't feel... And like, sure, these movies are kind of gratuitous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even there's a lot of nudity and stuff. And like, someone's changing and that's when they get killed. But this just felt like... So the whole scene was tacked on.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, trashy describes the
scene.
Yeah,
it was like, let's go have sex in the woods. I was like, okay, I guess. And then it was like long, drawn out scenes of her just naked, laying around. And
before she's laying around, though, remember Eddie pulls out the smallest joint you ever seen?
Oh, his tiny, tiny little thin joint.
I did like that.
I didn't realize what it was at first.
Sort of set up. It's like, oh, they're doing drugs. They're getting naked and they're having sex. This is the setup into
classic.
Something that might happen. Right. While they're about to do it, we have the Drifter once again showing up, and he's just being a total perv watching them, and he licks his lips at a certain point too. I even went, oh, I don't like that. But to rectify the situation, immediately we have kill number 6 now, and the Drifter just gets an axe, something to the stomach,
mm-hmm.
and he is dead.
Were we supposed to think that he was maybe the killer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, why is a Drifter here? Like, that felt like a weird, another thing that was like overly complicated and had nothing to do with the rest of the story. Easily could have been removed.
I think it was supposed to be a red herring, but then they just dropped the whole idea really quickly.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, that went away quick.
Eddie goes to quote unquote wash up. And now we have those like long scenes of Tina's character just lying on the blanket,
mm-hmm.
just completely naked in different poses.
Different angles.
Yeah. And then we have kill number 7. She gets, it's like shearers, right?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like tree or like bush shears or something.
She gets them stabbed straight into her eyes, and then you see them get pushed together, and like, that's brutal. Because like, she was probably dead by the time they were in her head.
Ugh.
But then the whole pushing together bit too, that's cool. And that was supposed to be a much more, again, graphic scene than what we saw. Because like, they cut so much. Do you get like that feeling?
Totally.
They did not show... nearly.
Yeah, it was said, they said out of all the movies, this is the one that had the most off-screen kills,
which is a bummer, because they, especially with this director, this would have been the movie to have seen some just trashy shit.
And you know, I'm all for off-screen kills if they're done right, and this just felt like they weren't filmed that way, and then they were just cut out. It's like, oh, well, if you're gonna do it, you have to plan ahead and make it really cool and like show a reaction or like
something.
You know, the dude comes around the corner and blood splatters on him and he's like, ugh! You know, some kind of cool thing, and not just like, I'm about to stab, and then
I already did it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay.
Eddie returns, and then we have kill number 8. Man, 8 kills already.
Yeah,
now
dude.
This is a really cool kill because he freaks out when he sees the body and the eye is just gone and stabbed, and he falls back against a tree, and in some really quick maneuvering, Jason manages to throw a belt around the tree and around Eddie's eyes. And so it's just the strip right over, and he puts like a stick in the belt loop, and he starts using the stick to turn it and tighten the belt around his face. And it looked like this was one of the kills that they showed, like some graphic stuff, because you see it like slowly pushing into his face and blood coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was really cool.
Yeah. It also seemed like there's a lot of eye kills.
Yeah, there
which
was.
Which is interesting.
I didn't realize that or didn't think about that till watching it this
time.
Yeah,
me neither.
But Eddie is now dead. We go to Pam. She is taking Reggie to see her brother, Demon, and they decide to take Tommy with them. Now, I really like the relationship between Reggie and Demon. Like, they felt like they were brothers. It seemed like there was some effort put into establishing that they had a relationship. Or I guess these actors were doing their job. They made me feel
like,
yeah,
the two of them would have been a fun protagonist, a couple of protagonists. Like, if they were the main characters, it would have been a fun movie.
Yeah. I think this guy showed up in Return of the Living Dead, and he was pretty cool in that. I think he essentially was the same character-ish.
He looks exactly like Michael Jackson. I mean, like his style, his hair. He has like shiny, like Jerry curls or whatever, and like the suit, like the leather suit from
Thriller,
the Thriller music video, basically. Yeah.
There's a great line where Demon is like, "Hey, I got enchiladas. You want some enchiladas? No, I got pizza. You don't want pizza? What?" He's got like a truck full of food.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing?
And he's also there with his lady Anita.
Yeah, in his like, isn't it like a one of those vans that's like has carpet in the back and stuff?
Yeah,
yeah,
that was fun. Well, this is when Junior shows up and just starts harassing Tommy. And then Tommy just kicks his ass, which I thought was great. It's like
full martial arts too.
Yeah. Like, he's like doing a hella punches and shit.
I was like, this feels like Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Where he like just, you know, beats up the bullies.
Tommy ends up fleeing after that. And then Pam and Reggie go after. And we have one of my favorite lines of any movie of all time. It's Demon. And he just says, it's those damn enchiladas. And he just has to shit himself right away.
Hey, you okay?
Damn enchiladas.
Yeah, and he goes off running to the outhouse.
There's a bit where Demon is just sitting there trying to take a shit. And Anita's just standing by, just shaking the outhouse that he's in. And they have a little duet. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby.
Ooh, baby.
Ooh, baby. And they do that for a little while.
For like a while. I do like the rattling of the poo house.
Mm-hmm.
Felt, because that's such a like Jason thing to do.
Yeah.
To like fuck with someone.
Yeah.
That it turns out to be his girlfriend just like fucking with
fucking
him.
Around.
I like that. Yeah.
Me too.
And then their weird little duet.
Well, Anita goes silent. And all of a sudden we have kill number nine. Demon goes to try and check out what happened to her. And her body is just right in front of the outhouse. So we can't get the door open. It's blocked.
Her throat's been slit, I believe.
And then I thought a really cool kill.
This
setup.
Was an interesting one.
So he's in the outhouse and there's like this pole. What would you call it?
Honestly, it looks like a sword. I don't know what it was, but it looks just like a broadsword.
It reminded me of like a fence or a gate. One of those mm-hmm. long poles.
Yeah, it was a sharpened metal rod of some kind.
And he's just shoving it through the outhouse. And it's one of those cool,
like a magician
trying to dodge it. And Demon gets hit on the leg and that kind of downs him a little bit. And then he just gets it straight through the chest. And we have kill number 10. Demon is dead. Pam drops off Reggie back at Pinehurst and she leaves him with Jake, Violet and Robin. So she goes looking off for everyone else. Also, Matt left looking for Tina and Eddie because they have not returned because they're dead.
Whoa.
We're back with your favorite character. I'm going to say that every time, Jeff. We're with Junior.
Yay!
He's returned home and he is screaming at the top of his lungs, riding on his motorcycle in a circle.
Yep. And another scene that went on far too long.
I got to agree with you. And he's like, they hit me.
You hear me, mama? You hear me, mama? They hit me. They hurt me. They hurt me. As he's just circling the house and she's screaming, you hear me, Junior? I'm making you dinner. You hear me? I'm making you dinner. And it's just like, 5 minutes of that back and forth. No other dialogue.
But then we do get kill number 11 off of this. What happens to Junior?
He's riding by on his stupid motorcycle and Jason just holds out a sword, whatever he's got, whatever he used, I think.
I think it's a cleaver this time. Is it a sword?
I don't know.
He's maybe got something. Cleaver.
He holds out some kind of blade and zoop clotheslines him and we see Junior's head hit the ground, separated from his body.
So I was reading that they initially had 6 head rolls and then the studio kept cutting it down. And so now only there's 1 head roll after it comes off the body.
6 head. Oh, like it rolled.
Like it bounces and rolls.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Funny.
So bummer kill. That's one kill I would have liked to have seen more. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not 6. That seems like it would.
After all
get
of
boring
the shit
after a second. You know what I mean?
Come on now.
It's like, oof, trim these scenes down, Mr. Whatever your last name is, director.
Well, right after this, we have Ethel with kill number 12. She gets a cleaver straight to the head while she's making her soup.
She squishes a tomato.
So this is a scene I read that apparently this is some of the only directions she was given on this movie is how to squish the tomato in a proper way. This is the only thing like the directors or whoever she was working with were commenting, no, you have to do it this way. And other than that, she had free reign of this character.
I want to know how she was squishing the tomato where they're like, no. You can't squish it like that.
That's wrong.
Because she just smushes it in her hand.
We're now back at the Pinehurst house. We have Jake, Violet, and Robin all hanging out. Jake and Robin are flirting a little bit, and it goes terribly wrong. And Jake gets all upset and huffs up upstairs.
Because she laughs in his face.
Yeah. He's like, I like you.
I really like you. I want to make love with you. She's like, ha, 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 you stupid idiot.
Yeah, he goes off in a huff and goes upstairs. And then, well, we have just some back-to-back-to-back kills. we have kill number 13 right here. We don't actually see what happens to Jake, do we? Because we see like a knife, or I think it's a cleaver raise up, and then it just cuts, and you hear it going in his face.
I believe so, yeah. And
this was a kill that got cut down. I have in the...
Cut down?
Crystal Lake Memories book, a shot of like the cleaver going into his face. I was reading that they wanted the actor back on set to do some reshoots because they had to cut things down and they wanted to try and do it better, but instead they just like they couldn't get him back in time. So they just had to cut it completely, which is a bit of a bummer because it looked cool. You know, it's on a fake head, but still, I like seeing the kills.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Violet, and oh my God, she is getting her groove and her dance on. Can you describe what she's doing?
It's kind of like if you asked someone to do a to do the robot, but they've only ever seen someone do the robot like once or twice, and they only have like a 2 foot square radius that they're allowed to do it in, like in a small little closet.
That's hella funny.
So she does a little move. like two little tiny little motions.
The music's pretty rad though. It's very 80s, just bumping, going. I was a little jealous of those moves, but then she also gets killed just right away. This killer walks in and picks her up by the throat and just stabs her straight in the stomach, and she is dead.
She's a goner.
Finally, we have Robin, who goes into her room, and she gets all naked and gets into bed. And, well...
in a long, lingering scene again where she's, like, slowly turning in the moonlight to show off her boobs.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
She,
Oh, she turns to her side?
Oh, yeah, she's in the bed.
And she sees...
Jake's body.
Jake! And he's just like wide-eyed and blood is on his face. Mm-hmm. And then we give a classic arm wrap around the bed and a machete through the bottom of the bed, I believe, right?
We didn't really see it. Yeah, kill number 15 there, which it was a bummer that we didn't see.
I feel like it was like from the killer's perspective.
I believe, yeah.
And then it comes out and it has blood on it.
A bit of an homage to good old KB.
Good old Bacon. Mr. Bacon.
Senor Bacon.
Good old Crispy B.
So Reggie is also there, but he's passed out on the couch. He wakes up because there's a storm going on, and he goes upstairs, and he just comes across all three bodies in Tommy's room. There's a big old blast of lightning, and of course, Robin's naked corpse is the one on top of everything.
Right.
And Pam also returns.
I think you said they've been piled. Yeah. She's on top.
Stacked just on Tommy's bed. Pam comes home because the car broke down at some point, and she's like, she grabs Reggie because he's like screaming, and she's like, "What's going on? Hey, it's me. Hey,
calm down. Calm down. What's going on?"
This is one of the scenes I was talking about where I'm like, may have gone a little hard there.
Yeah, it's like, damn, I thought you were trying to suit. Like, she doesn't know what's happening. Mm-mm. And he's just looking. He just looks startled. And she's like screaming in his face. It's like, you really know how to calm down a child. She works at a mental facility where she should know how to de-escalate. And
we're actually seeing her skills. She's clearly not very good at her job.
Yeah.
Well, she goes into Tommy's room and there's another flash of lightning and you hear her scream and she comes out and they run down the stairs like, "Let's get the fuck out of here."
Mm-hmm.
And as they're trying to run, Reggie just trips and eats shit and she grabs
by trips, you mean she shoves him and then he trips?
Is that what happens?
Yeah, she goes to like push him, I think to help him move.
Yeah, gotta go faster.
But it looks like she just shoves him down. I was like, Jesus.
I got like kind of concerned for his ankle too. I was like, oh
yeah, ooh.
Oh, I've been there many times. And then she gets on one knee. She's like, get up, and starts shaking him.
Yeah, it's like, you need a chill, lady.
And I had to pause at this bit for a quick second because we actually get our very first look at the killer Jason. The door literally busts open, and we're at about maybe an hour and 9 or 10 minutes in. And there he is in all of his glory. Jinx. That, I mean, I guess.
You and to clarify.
Yes.
We have seen Jason.
Correct.
But in flashbacks and in
hallucinations. Or are they? Yeah. Although when this Jason busts through the door, he is a bit thinner than the one that we've seen before. And the mask is different. It is subtle. Still a hockey mask, but instead of the red three triangles like on the top and the sides, there are two blue longer triangles underneath the eye holes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's wearing a mask and he's killing people.
Yeah. And maybe if you don't have a keen eye, you wouldn't catch it. Or if you're just like hockey mask like me.
It's Jason. Oh, shit. You're screaming. Well, of course, they try running away. They make it out the front door through the woods and they come across the EMT's car or an ambulance, right?
I believe so. It looks kind of like a hearse, but with like a light on the top. But yeah, I think it's the ambulance. It's the... Yeah, because they're like, help, help, help. They pop the door open and out tumbles the guy from the beginning who's like, get over here, you pussy, or whatever to his partner. And I was like, yeah, I'm glad he's dead.
So does that count as a kill? An off-screen kill?
It's up to you. I would say no.
Okay, we won't count it then.
Because he's dead, but we didn't see him get killed.
Yeah. And in a classic Jason move, he just kind of pops up right next to the hearse too.
He's like, yeah, oh, me hello. Too.
And of course, the more screaming and running, Reggie just fucking takes off.
Oh man, he's lightning. He's gone in a flash, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, good for you.
I think that out loud you said that you're like, yeah, just leave her. She's not doing anything.
Yeah, she keeps pushing him down and shaking him. And it's like, just get out of there, dude.
So Reggie fucks off as fast as he can. Pam tries chasing him. And this is when we come across Matt for kill number 17. It was an off-screen kill, but Matt is pinned to a tree with like a big old stake just straight through the center of his head. Pam runs back into the house and we get, just in classic Jason form, a body comes flying, careening and crashing through the window. I don't think I really noticed these things until you pointed it out in like number two. You're like, oh, there he goes again. And then it happened in three and four.
Oh, totally. He has to throw a body through a window.
Otherwise, he's not doing his jam.
Right.
This happens to be kill number 18. It is the grandfather of Reggie. I believe his like throat was slit. But on top of that, he was also just...
His eyeballs were all fucked also. I couldn't figure out what happened to them, but they were like swollen and bloody.
It sort of reminded me of Tina's death. The one where she got like the...
Yeah, another eye kill.
The eyes. Yeah.
Interesting.
This is when I noticed the eye thing going on.
Yeah, what are you doing with people's eyes, dude?
This director just hates eyeballs.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, he is dead. And finally, Jason catches up to Pam. My note just says, Pam is useless. She ends up just slipping in the mud. And I'm doing like wiggly waggly shapes with my arms.
She was doing wiggly waggly shapes as well. You're right.
Yeah. And she can't get up. I guess it's slippery. It's raining out. Wicked hot.
No, but I agree with you. I was like, get up. And it wasn't like out of fear. It was like, no, it looks like you're just giving up.
Yep. She's screaming. Oh God.
Because she crawls in the mud too, but like kind of slow.
And then she turns around. So she's like still on the ground, but like backing up. And then this is when Reggie comes to the rescue. He fucking drives a tractor straight through the barn door and he just smashes straight into Jason and Jason goes fucking flying.
Yeah, I was like, nice.
Made me laugh.
Yeah.
And then what do all smart people do in horror movies, Jeff?
Kill.
But oh, what we're talking else about... they do? The smartest thing.
Once, they run.
But there's also a third smartest thing that you do when there's a killer.
Oh, you mean the smartest thing?
Yeah.
The number one of all the things you can do.
The king's smart move.
Well, what you do is you get together and you calmly look at each other like, okay, we're all safe now. And then you slowly walk towards the body and you just look at it for a while. That's what you meant?
Exactly. Okay, what I meant.
Okay. Yeah.
I have a quote that you said. It says, yeah, good idea. Walk closer to him.
Well, it's like he's not even dead. You can tell he's not dead.
Yeah, they get close to him and then Jason grabs Reggie's leg. He's still going. They manage to like kick him off and they run into the barn. And in a thing I did like that you noticed that I just kind of glanced over is that when you see Jason walking, he now is like going at a brisk pace. You even said, oh, look, he's
like,
up
whoa,
his game.
Someone's learning
a new beginning.
Yeah, he's not Jason. Just slowly trudging. He's like, okay, come on.
I got
and he's also bleeding from the stomach.
Yeah, he is now definitely injured.
Taking some damage.
He goes into the barn and he can't find anybody. But he hears some sounds coming from behind a door. So he gets closer. And we have, I think, probably my favorite bit. Fucking the door slams open and it's Pam and she has a fucking chainsaw.
Hell yeah.
And there's like a little battle where Jason is using the machete that he has while Pam's trying to fucking hit him. And they're like using like swords.
Mm-hmm.
And she manages to nick him like right on the arm too. And he falls down. Looks like Pam finally has him. Is this it? Is this the end of Jason finally? No.
No, it's not.
No, Jeff, it is not. Unfortunately, she didn't check the gas. It just runs out of power right before she's about to kill Jason. Chainsaw shuts down and she's like, tries restarting it real fucking quick too. And I'm like, ugh. Jason is right. Jason just sits there and he's like, I'll wait.
Yeah, I feel bad for you. This is embarrassing. I'll give you a second.
He's like, well, there's a second. He gets up and he comes at her. And in my second favorite bit having to do with the chainsaw, she just looks at it and then she just throws it at him.
Yeah. I was even thinking, I was like, in this moment, honestly, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Chuck it at him, run.
Hucks it straight at him.
Still sharp.
She ends up climbing up into the top part of the barn where Reggie's hiding.
Right.
And Jason is about to chase her when all of a sudden, that's lightning if you couldn't tell. Who's standing in the doorway of the barn? It is Tommy.
It was the dramatic Tommy sound.
He makes his appearance.
He's like, hey, Jason. I'm just kidding. No, he's like, Jason! Or something, right?
I think maybe it's Pam and Reggie who say, Tommy!
Oh, you're right.
And then Jason turns and he starts walking towards Tommy. And Tommy looks like he's about to have an action scene. And then he starts having PTSD.
That should be the tagline for this movie. Tommy looks like he's about to have an action scene. But then he starts having PTSD.
Yep. You hear audio from the end of part four. We've been hearing that every now and again when he starts having like his crazy moments.
Right.
Of young Corey Feldman being like, die, die, die. And it's like the machete slap into dead Jason's head.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason just walks up to him, just slashes him right across the chest.
Yeah, he just stands staring at him.
Yeah. He falls to the ground and Jason raises up the machete that he's about to kill Tommy with. And then what comes to the rescue? It's Tommy's little knife.
His tiny little pocket knife.
He had it in his shoe and he pulls it out and then he just stabs Jason pretty close to the dick.
Yeah.
The high thigh.
Close to the femoral.
So that stops him for a short time. He's like, ooh, my almost
dick.
Yeah,
Oochie.
Oochie, mama.
Yowzer. I didn't like that. Line. Yeah.
Yowza, I didn't like that.
Jason's classic line.
Yeah, his catchphrase. Tommy climbs the ladder up to the top part to join Trish. Not Trish, that's his sister. Tommy, did I also mention what happens to Trish? I think we glanced over this. I'm just going to throw this in right now because you asked.
No, because I didn't know either. I was like, where is she at?
So I looked it up online. Apparently, there was a rift between Tommy and Trish because Tommy was just obsessed with Jason and he wouldn't give it up. And that just he just pushed Trish away. So if anyone was wondering, there's some background to
why they didn't recast the sister also.
Yeah, pretty much. Tommy climbs up and Jason follows, and by the time Jason gets up there, Tommy, he's just, looks like he's dead. Reggie pops up at a door, he's like, hello.
Hi.
I'm not kidding, he kind of says that, right?
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell if this was like a plan that Reggie and Pam had set up, because Jason gets closer and closer to Reggie, and then Pam just comes out of nowhere and like kicks him over, and they start like wrestling.
Yeah, I was like, oh, a plan. And then that happened, I was like, huh.
Because I thought
it didn't seem like that was planned, but it looked like there was some strategy there for a second.
Tommy was dead and he was going to come up and help, but that doesn't happen.
Or like Tommy would get up on his hands and knees and they would like push him over him.
Yeah.
Like the classic prank.
You should have been Tommy.
See?
It's like prank.
Yeah, prank.
Chasing off. Well, Reggie swings off of something.
Like a beam or something, right?
Beam, yes. And he manages to kick Jason off of the second story. There's a big old open gap. It looks like he just kicks him out of the barn window or barn opening, and you think it's over, but it's not.
Oh,
he's hanging on to the side.
And he reaches up and he grabs Reggie's ankle.
Mm-hmm. Starts pulling him. They're trying to, and Pam is trying to pull him. Reggie's just right in the
playing
middle.
Playing tug
screaming.
Of war with Reggie.
And this is when Tommy finally comes to consciousness again.
Yeah.
And he picks up the machete and he decides
does something useful
finally
for the
help.
First time.
Yeah. Although, you brought up a funny point. You're like, I thought, well, he uses the machete and he just cuts Jason right on the arm. And honestly, it looked like he could have hit Reggie.
Yeah,
really
I thought
easily.
He cut Reggie's ankle off.
He's like, well, this is the easiest. It had to be
he's
done.
He's like, hey, man, you want to live?
What,
chop.
Want me to actually chop his arm?
Yeah. It's
come
Jason.
On, Reggie.
What do you think?
We also did see a shot right before Jason went over the first time of just like all of these spikes.
Oh, it's like I think it's like a hay thing.
Yeah, hay.
It's like, yeah, just big ass spikes. I think you put hay bales on.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure, you know.
This is what.
I'm a city boy.
Jason falls from the ledge and he just.
Dude, just straight on the thing. I like the impact. I was like, I felt that impact.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
Because of this impact, it does cause the mask to fly off. And for the reveal of Jason once again.
Wait.
Jeff, will you explain what's happening at this point?
The mask flies off.
Mm-hmm.
And wait a second.
What's that?
Is that Jason's disfigured face? Is that Lake Boy? It's not. It's Old Man Jenkins from the Lake House. It's a Scooby-Doo
well
twist. And it's Roy, right? Is that his name?
That is
from
his
the beginning.
Name.
That fucking guy that
the EMT.
Some of you probably are like, who? I don't know. Why? He's the EMT from the first scene and apparently, because you can see the side of Jason's head and it's like a bald guy and he's all disfigured. Apparently what Roy's done is he's gotten a prosthetic fucking mask that makes it look like he has a wrinkly head and like a bald head. And then he put a Jason mask on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow he knew what Jason's head looked like. And then he commissioned Tommy, the effects artist. He's like, hey, man, can you, you know what he looks like? Yeah. Send me over a Jason head.
I'm a big fan. Can you, I'll send you some work. Money. Yeah. Just, yeah. You know, I'll send you $100. Just make
and
it
show because it shows. It's not even like that disappears. Like how when Batman takes off his cowl and his eye makeup is mysteriously gone. It's not like that.
He slammed so hard into the ground.
You see the like rubber of the mask like burst.
Sticking out. Yeah.
And it's like still on his head like a hoodie.
Uh-huh.
And the mask is gone. It's like, what on earth? How did you get the materials for anyway?
So
it's Roy.
The very first time I watched this, I had no idea who that was. I was like, do I know this guy?
Yeah,
I didn't. Yeah. I did not.
It's like, who the fuck is that guy? What is this?
We transition into the next scene. Pam and Reggie are at the hospital along with Tommy. He's recovering. And the sheriff shows up and he's like, well, I'm going to give you, I guess, some background now.
Yeah. And in truly like 80s twist fashion, he's like, wait a second. I found Roy's wallet. It has a bunch of shit in it that explains who he is and why he was killing people.
The exposition wallet.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently, Joey, the kid who was killed, who loved chocolate, the
candy bar kid,
who pissed off everyone in the world
and got chopped up by an axe.
He was Roy's son. Now, not only that, but in this wallet, too, were a bunch of clippings of Jason, original Jason, just murdering people. Him going,
yeah,
like
newspaper
spree.
Clippings. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm very confused by all of this. So first,
yeah,
of all,
the sheriff is like, I guess he used that as a way to get away with the killings or something like that. And it's like, huh?
What?
How does him looking like Jason while he's killing people do really anything? I mean, I guess it's spooky.
Mm-hmm. But my question is, if Roy was actually Joey's dad, Joey's been there for months. Roy is also, I mean, he's been an EMT there for however long. Like, why? What was he doing there? Why didn't he contact his son? Was he afraid?
Even I think the sheriff even said, like, huh, weird. I wonder why he never, you know, contacted him.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay, that's what you wanted to write in there?
We're just going
to
leave that open, huh?
Yeah. Also, I don't know, because like we said, we lost the first recording.
Yeah.
The first 20 minutes. I'm not sure if we mentioned it this time that Candy Bar Kid, they did a little exposition in the beginning too. I think we talked about it.
Yeah.
How he's like
an
orphan and
he's only been there.
His mom
months.
Was killed or something. And his dad disappeared.
Yeah.
And he's been there a few months. So his dad just
hanging out
nearby. And then he's like,
shit.
Oh, my son's been chopped up. You know what I should do? Well, I already have all these clippings of Jason in my wallet, or maybe he got them after. I don't know. I'm going to make a mask to make myself look like Jason and then just go kill everyone.
Mm-hmm. And, because I'm very upset, the first two people I'm going to kill are two greasers who had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, exactly.
They just really annoyed me.
Yeah, you guys are fucking annoying. I'm going to kill you.
He just happened to like walking by and he heard them arguing. He's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you know who else I'm going to kill? My fucking partner. That guy's annoying.
To be fair, he was just
he did call him a pussy.
And he was a bit of a dick. He's like, look at this dead body, huh?
Yeah.
You're an EMT.
Yeah.
Have some respect.
Have some fucking respect.
Well, yeah, that is apparently Roy's motivation was the death of his son. His son that he had never met or talked to. All right. Yeah, fine. Sure.
Yeah.
We flash to Tommy. He's recovering in a hospital room. And we have Pam walk in. There's a flash of lightning, possibly. The covers come off. And Tommy has a machete. And he just stabs Pam straight in the stomach. And he wakes up.
It was all a dream.
Jeff, it was all a dream. But who's standing in front of his bed? It's Jason.
Jason.
And he's not the blue triangled mask Jason. He's no Roy Jason. He's not Roy at all. It's Jason with the red triangles and the hockey mask. And he's standing there. And then Tommy's just staring back and they're just flashing back and forth. And I'm like, well, when is this going to end? And then finally, Jason just disappears.
Ooh.
This is the first time where Tommy doesn't like grab his face and try and hide his eyes and try and convince himself that he's not there. He just dissipates. Does this mean that Tommy has finally gotten over his obsession with Jason? No is the answer. Pam comes back into the room, this time for realsies, it's because she hears some glass breaking and she walks in and the window is busted open and there's rain coming in and wind blowing and the door behind her slowly closes. And who is it? It's Tommy. But he's wearing the Roy mask because he opened up a drawer with the Roy mask right next to his bed.
Which, why was the Jason mask in his fucking nightstand?
Why are you keeping that so close to him?
They're like, I don't know, man. This guy tried to kill him a couple times, and it's the dude he murdered. He
probably wants this.
Yeah, just throw it next to his jeans.
He raises the machete or the knife in his hand. We zoom into his face and cut to black.
Oh,
Jeff.
What a twist.
Finished watching Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning. Are you ready to move into the final thoughts of this movie, Jeff?
I'm ready.
First question. Did you like, nay, did you love this movie?
I'm going to have to go with a no on that one.
A big old no.
Like a medium no.
Oh, that's actually a lot better than I thought you would respond. Honestly, I was a little worried showing you this movie just because I'll answer my own question. Did I like, love this movie? Yes, I love it.
I mean,
you
are currently wearing a jacket with the title of the movie on it. So I'm going to guess you liked it at least a little bit. Whoa, Jason mask.
I am so hot in this.
With
right
no
now.
Triangles.
Yeah, it's just like the mask from the poster.
Yeah.
Come on, nerd. Know your shit.
Whoa.
What was I saying?
Did you like it?
Yes. Oh, I was.
Did you like it? Nay, love it. Excuse me.
No, thank you. It's embarrassing. I have watched this movie countless times. I love this movie. I think it's actually a lot of fun. I'm pretty sure I've told you multiple times that it was a very successful movie at the time. Everyone was riding high after Friday the 13th, Part 5. They're like, he's back. But then it started getting out that, oh, it's not Jason. It is a man named Roy. And everyone was like, boo, that's lame. That's dumb.
Boo.
So I have watched this countless times is what I'm trying to get to. This is a movie I can put on in the background or just if I'm bored, just playing. It's nice. It's comforting. It is just a classic, just straight up like slasher. And I like the twist of not having it be Jason. It's kind of
interesting. So you like the twist.
Once I learned who it actually was, cool. I like they're introducing new elements.
Yeah, I didn't mind that. That part didn't bother me. I was like, oh, cool. It's something fresh. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. We're not the type of fans that are like, wait, this isn't the same thing that I've liked again, done again and again. This is bullshit. I was like, no, mix it up. Do something wacky and weird.
And
have it be Roy.
We are in that minority of people who really, I really enjoyed Halloween Ends. I think you enjoyed it enough.
Yeah.
Like they still had Michael in it. And I mean, technically Jason was sort of in this in the very beginning, but you're keeping
his presence was there.
Yeah. Which I think, again, that's what the initial scene with a young Corey Feldman was supposed to establish. But they're keeping it fresh and they're trying to not let it get stale, even though sometimes maybe people just want that same thing over and over.
Right.
But I understand that. It's that consistency. It's a comforting feeling. It's like, I know what I'm going to get when I go in. There's not going to be any real like surprises, maybe a surprise kill, but it's going to be the same old, same old.
Right. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, it's not like they're breaking the mold here.
True.
You know what I mean? It's not like this one's a comedy set in New York City. It's like, no, it's still a Friday the 13th.
It's still a straight up slasher.
It just treats it more like Ghostface, where it's like someone else is behind the mask. It's still Jason. That's how I viewed it anyway. It's like, it's not literally Jason, but it's the concept has carried on.
Mm-hmm. It can continue without him.
Right.
Even though, you know, everyone was just like, bring Jason back. And they did.
Yeah.
But it was those very early on scenes where we're introduced to Joey, we're introduced to Ethel and Junior, where I'm like, I think this might turn off Jeff before he even gets started.
Yeah, I was not a fan of that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much. That alone, some of the characters in this movie
are terrible. Oof.
Yeah, I do not want to watch that movie again. To answer your next question, I'm guessing. I'm just reading your mind here.
Hey, real quick, Jeff, can we just hit the knife button for kill number 19? Right. Thank you. I would have felt not
I did. I clocked that earlier, actually, and then I forgot to bring it up.
Boom. We got each other's backs. You just answered my next question. Is this a movie you will watch again? No.
No. not likely. I mean, it, like you said, it was kind of fun, entertaining. It was campy intentionally. Mm-hmm. Like we mentioned earlier, they hired a trashy director intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of fun. But yeah, like I would say like 50% of the characters are completely unwatchable. They're so obnoxious. So I'm like, eh.
I did sort of like that, though, because it just it goes hand in hand with the trashiness of this film. And they are essentially just there to be set up for kills and deaths. This is, again, one of the highest.
Yeah, but it's like so fucking irritating to watch, you know?
You're not wrong.
Because I've seen people do campy where it's like you're kind of over the top and mm-hmm. obnoxious, but you're not like
a junior riding around on your motorcycle.
Actively like, ooh, I want to turn this movie off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I get that's a personal.
I think I've just maybe because I've watched it so many times, I have desensitized myself to some of these characters.
Right, you've kind of dulled that edge to it. Yeah, yeah.
I, from what I remember, I was very much just like, I hate Joey. I hate Ethel. Mm-hmm. I hate Junior. But it was the satisfaction of watching them.
Right.
Yeah, the greasers were fine.
God, I hate it. Well, I hated the one greaser, I should say. It's a little stupid song.
Telling his friend what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. But overall.
Next question then. Is this a movie you would show someone?
Ooh. This might be the first time in a while I might.
Whoa. Like you might?
It would be very specific.
Okay.
It would be like, let's put a movie on for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's a spooky movie we can watch for Halloween? And this one feels a little more weirdly accessible.
I think you're right.
Where it's like, we're having cocktails and carving pumpkins. Like, put on fucking Friday the 13th Part 5. Mm-hmm. It's not as like, some of the gore in the early ones could put some people off. And absolutely. This one's like easy. And there's a lot of boobs, but everybody likes boobs. Who cares?
This you know? Is true. Boobs are great.
It's like you roll your eyes at it because it's like, what's going on? But it's not like upsetting to anyone.
Yeah.
So yeah, I probably would in a specific situation.
Interesting. I didn't. You're shocking me left and right.
Yeah.
Is this a new beginning to you, Jeff?
Wait, am I a massive Friday the 13th fan?
Wait, Jeff, you're reaching underneath your chair and listeners, he's pulling out a hockey mask with blue triangles on it. Oh, he threw his mask at me. That wasn't very effective. Ow. That wasn't very effective.
Yeah, do you like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could do better next time.
Yeah, I'll try.
Well, here is a question relating to last week's episode. Did you enjoy this movie more or less than Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City?
Wow, that's hard.
Yeah, I know. That's why I brought it up.
I liked, oof, that is really hard. I'm going to say I liked this movie more.
Good. I was really hoping you would say
that. I'm going to say this movie more. Yeah.
Anything in particular, just because it's not?
Just the campy, lighthearted, kind of fun, whatever.
Which is what we were saying Welcome to Raccoon City was missing.
It was just dreary and boring. Yeah.
I wouldn't say this movie's boring. I think it, like, once it takes off, it's fairly fast paced.
Yeah. And fully, if not for the obnoxious characters, that would have been easy. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that thing of like Raccoon City. Were there any characters that really just pissed me off? No, but I didn't feel anything.
That's because they didn't give you enough
gray.
To be pissed off.
I'm like, who
them?
Cares? Yeah. And then in this one, it was like, shut the fuck up. But then there are some good, like, fun scenes, too. So I'm like, OK, it balances out. At least I felt something for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm glad. And it is a very fast paced movie, an hour and a half as opposed to Raccoon
City.
It's
a quick
an hour. And I think it was 46 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because I've seen it so many times. But I think most Friday the 13th movies move fairly quickly. We've said this so many times. I'll say it again. These movies are very formulaic and they give us exactly what you want. And this is just a slasher that people wanted, and they kind of stay that way. Although there are some changes here and there. Like,
I heard a rumor that he's in space at one point, so I know things change a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. He may become undead, he may go into space, and he may even become a weird worm thing that everybody hates and everyone can unanimously agree is a terrible movie. I'm talking about Jason Goes to Hell, Friday the 13th, Part 9.
Interesting. Interesting. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That being said, I did think this was going to be his origin of being undead, and I was kind of disappointed, so I'm glad it wasn't.
I'm glad.
I'm like, right. There's him coming out of the grave. No explanation. Cool.
This leads into a question I just came up with right now. Did you see the twist happening? Quote unquote twist. Did you see this not being Jason? Did you know it was not going to be Jason?
I didn't know. I forgot because we've talked about
that. I told you. Yeah.
But I just, there's so many of them, honestly, that I'm like, who fucking knows? Just
black everything out that I say.
Yeah, I'm like, at some point, he's worms. Like, when that happens, I won't know either. You know, I'm like, I have been saying I want someone to be made of bugs, so I've just been waiting for that. It's Maybe possible. That'll be my favorite one.
You know, they are bringing that series back as a TV show, Crystal Lake.
Did so. The me talking about a man made out of worms make you hungry for a cookie?
Boo boo. Oh, that's a good cookie, man. You ate one earlier, all right?
Okay.
Twist about Roy.
The twist. Thank you. I was like, I knew I was about to say something. I didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. But also, I remember at one point you paused and you were like, "So what are your theories?"
Yeah, that's where I realized I made a mistake. I was like, "Uh oh."
I was like, "Theories? I don't know. Nothing."
It's Jason.
Yeah,
he's undead. I was like, "Oh, fuck!"
Like nothing truly different was happening. It was like, this is just a carbon copy of the last four, pretty much. It's like I'm stabbing people. And then it's like, my boobs are out. And he's like, I'm gonna stab you also. And I'm like, yeah, this seems right.
Like nothing has changed.
And then it was like, blah, I'm a different guy. I was like, okay.
What a great review and summary of this movie, man.
Yeah, it was like, there was a twist, but I wasn't shocked. It was just kind of like, who is that? Oh, it's Roy.
I think I went in knowing that it wasn't, like the killer wasn't Jason. And so I like that they went lean into like the whodunit aspect.
See, that's the I think that was the problem. Me not knowing that, I'm like, well, it's Jason. So all the parts where it was like,
I see.
Oh, the traveler who's like, I'm a pervert. And then like, Tommy is kind of like unhinged. I'm like, okay, just more obnoxious character. It's just like the dirt people, you know? I'm like,
the dirt people.
And it's just Jason. Then it's like, no, it wasn't. I was like, oh, okay, that's fine too.
All right.
So if I'd gone in being like, if they had said in the beginning or something that it wasn't, that honestly would have been more, that would have been better. No, damn I'm it. Thinking about it.
God damn it.
Because it's more the ghost face thing where it's like, fuck, who's the person
you're now wanting Scooby to try doing and Jason? Look at other people.
Right. Although, instead of just being like, whatever, he's lumbering around stabbing.
You did when Roy's face was exposed. You're like, that's the AMT guy, right? And I was like, how did you know that?
I have a not to brag, but I am what's called a super recognizer.
That's true.
I took an online quiz and it told me so.
So you also pointed out, you're like, oh, it was the guy who was clearly just staring into the camera really hard or the camera would focus on for like 3 seconds instead of 1 second.
Yeah, it was. Well, and it was also like, yeah, it kept going back and like Roy, and it had his little name tag and like they talked to him a lot, like more than his partner. And I'm like, huh. There's something going on here, but I did forget by the end.
Everybody did.
But when he showed up, I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Everyone forgot the guy who was introduced in the first 10 minutes was the main character, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like
it should have been Candy Bar Kid.
How is he back?
They don't even explain it. They find his wallet and inside it's like, oh, this newspaper clipping says when he was chopped up by an axe, it was prosthetics.
And it was him the whole time. The scene where the cops, when they find the greasers and the EMTs are out there. This is a scene I didn't really think about until this time watching, where the cop is sort of talking to himself. He's like, this has been a slaughter. And then Roy kind of just like stands up because he's carrying like one of the bodies away. And he's like, huh, did you say something to me? And the cop's like, no, I was just talking to myself. And then you see Roy kind of just like, oh, okay. And he just walks off camera.
Oh, right.
That's really leaning into him being up to something. Why are they?
Yeah, was that
so
just
hard?
Like, remember this guy? Huh? What's up? Was that it? Or was it like something about the slaughter? Or was it just him looking up from being
he
like,
just thought,
remember
the,
me?
The cop was talking to him.
Yeah.
Did you say something? No, idiot. What's up, dude? He's talking to me. Dumbass. Sorry, Captain.
I am glad they didn't do like a flashback montage of him like overhearing things and like cutting out clippings and stuff. I feel like that's a very like,
ooh,
My Bloody Valentine or whatever.
I kind of would have liked that just because I think it would have fit in the 80s, this 80s type
true,
movie.
True.
I'd have been like, yeah, that. I'm not surprised by it.
Like, let's explain how he got here.
Nope.
I mean, it would have made more sense than like, I don't know. We found these clippings.
Exposition.
It makes sense that he has this weird Jason mask. It's like, okay.
Again, I'm like, if anyone out there knows how the cops and the mayor came to the conclusion that must be Jason Voorhees, I mean, I could probably look up how close Pinehurst is to Camp Crystal Lake or where.
But even
relation.
Then, it's like, it's not like he's doing anything specifically. He's not killing people in a specific way. He's because, in fact, I was going to say the fact that he's killing people mainly through their eyes almost was a hint that it's not Jason.
Interesting.
Because he has, maybe Roy has like a weird fucking thing for eyeballs.
He's like, I got that tryptophobia and I hate
it. Don't you look at my son. You know, I don't know.
Interesting.
But they're like, it's probably Jason.
I'm sure everyone's like, okay, put this together, but I just realized like this is another parent who, who was going on a murder spree because of their child who died. Yeah. They just kind of turned it from the mother to the father.
Oh, and I did read something that, you know, the ki, ma, 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 that thing. Apparently that's supposed to be like kill.
Yeah. Kill, kill, kill.
Mom, mom, mom. So in this one, it's kiki ki, ta, ta, ta.
For
kiki, ta, 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 ta. For kill, 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 Tommy, Tommy, Tommy.
Oh, I
think which I think is supposed to be like a red herring, you know, it's supposed to like throw you off because you're supposed to think it's Tommy apparently this whole time, which I didn't.
Not even thought. One bit.
No, not even a little bit.
Okay.
I remember then you're like, did you think it was Tommy? I was like, oh, no,
I didn't.
I didn't know I was supposed to.
You're so smart, Jeff.
I'm such a smart boy. Just clueless. I'm like, oh, is it not Jason? There's all these supposed to like these hints. I'm like, oh, well, why would it not be?
Well, I think that wraps up the final thoughts that I have. Any other final thoughts on this you got, Jeff? Anything else you'd like to?
I'm going to say my final thought is.
You want some of the cookie?
Sure. That's my final thought. I'll take some cookie.
Perfect. Let's move into the favorite kill slash death of the movie. Now, there were quite a few. I believe it came to 18 or 19. I'm not sure what I said. Yeah. And then we sort of didn't include some kills that may have been kills or not. But did you have a favorite one, Jeff? Go.
You know what? I do know what my favorite kill is. Let's and it's it. Not, I think, what you'd expect. Okay. Maybe. I don't know.
I have no idea what to expect from you.
Exactly. I was like, wait a second. I don't have like a...
I've been throwing new beginnings at me left and right today.
I'm going to say it's Greaser number one.
I actually should have guessed that.
With the torch in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
That
cool
was.
Effect, too. Like, it glows from inside the mouth, and that was clearly like... Not clearly. It was like a good prosthetic and stuff, I'm sure. And it was cool, and it reminded me of the new Halloween.
I did say this, but I just want to say it again. Just, I feel so bad for the designers who went into making all of these deaths and these kills and just have them cut like, goddamn. Mm-hmm.
All the work for like a 2 second boop and then it cuts.
And in the Camp Crystal Lake or the Crystal Lake Memories book that I have, there are lots of pictures of some of the prosthetics and the setups for the deaths and they look glorious.
That's cool. At least they have that like legacy.
Of course.
That people, I'm sure, go and search it out too and they kind of
have
that part of it.
Want to give a shout out to all of them. We're big appreciators of what you guys do. Sorry you got cut, because y'all are listening.
Sorry you got.
We love you.
Whoa. What was your favorite kill?
I sort of did already lean into giving you a hint what it was, but it was going to be Eddie's death with the belt around the eyes.
Oh, right.
When he's onto the tree, and then Roy just starts using like a stick to tie it tighter and tighter around his eyes.
What about that made it your favorite?
I think it was one of the more visual deaths that we got, one of the ones we actually saw like some gross stuff happening. The prosthetics looked really good and it was just like, I don't know, really cool to me.
I was guessing my guess for yours was probably going to be the axe to the dude's head in the scene where he's like waiting for his girlfriend or waiting for that girl at the diner.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's another good one.
Did they show it?
I think so.
Okay.
Just, again, like, it was super quick, but I think it showed it briefly. But they did show more of the belt eyes guy.
Yeah, maybe just by a few seconds, but
and it's a new creative.
Yeah, yeah.
Axe in the head's been done.
True. Well, I guess that brings us into the rating of this movie. Jeff, out of 13 blue hockey masks.
Uh-oh.
How many blue hockey masks would you give this movie?
Out of 13 blue hockey masks, I would give this movie 4.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
That's very low.
Maybe 4.
Follow-up
maybe
question.
6 out of 13.
Where would you rank this one out
of give it 4.
The 5 movies we've watched so far?
Oof. Okay, so
number 1, pretty good.
Mrs. Voorhees number 1, 2 remind me
Baghead Jason
and then
3 was he gets the mask Jason. He kills a bunch of kids like at a little cottage on the lake. 2 was still at Crystal Lake. 3 was at a cottage or like a little getaway
house. And then 4, man, this is going to be loose because my memory is really bad. I'm going to say this is going to be based on really nothing. I'm going to say 3 is my favorite so far.
Interesting.
I don't know. It probably, honestly, if I looked at the trailers, I'd be like, oh, never mind. I'm going to say 3 is my favorite, then 1, then this one, then 2.
That sort of checks out. I just remember you really liking number 1. I think that's the one you've rated the highest, but I think you've also gone back on that now.
But also, that was the first episode we'd ever done.
Very true. And you're like, I'm having the time of my life.
I'm like, this is a great time. That movie sucked, but I'll rate it high, you know?
And now you're like, I am exhausted.
Yeah, after going through all these movies, I'm like, okay, there's some better stuff out there.
You're not wrong.
I got to smoosh that down a little bit. But I did like the Mrs. Voorhees bit.
So I did talk right over you a little bit. I'm so sorry. Did you say you were giving this 4 or 5 blue hockey masks out of 13?
I'm going to stick with 4. Fuck it.
Okay.
I was angry enough that I think this sits at a 4.
That checks out.
Out of specifically blue hockey masks, the Roy mask.
Yes.
How many would you give it out of 13?
I would give this probably 9 to 10.
Whoa.
I'm going to go with 9. Might as well.
That's like an A right there.
Yeah, I'll give this 9 out of 13 blue hockey masks. I don't know what it is about this movie that I get so much joy out of.
Mm-hmm.
I like the change get up. It. I've said it before, it's the formula. It is just weird. And they stepped up it with so many kills, which definitely added to my enjoyment of this movie. Because I think number 4, there were a decent amount, but it was nowhere like as high as 18 to 19. The creativeness of them, I mean, a bunch of them focus on the eyes or people were just kind of hit with axes in the chest, but in some of them, they were very creative and we just didn't see the final like product of what these kills would have looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And so that leads my imagination to wonder. And again, some of the pictures I have seen in Crystal Lake Memories, I want to say there is like a bit of love put into this, but also I've read some things where they were just slapping this thing together just to make money. But I think that this is just an underrated Friday the 13th movie, but I do understand why people don't like it.
Let me ask you this.
Please.
What franchise do you like better? Friday the 13th or Halloween? As a whole.
I'm going to go.
The movies I haven't even seen yet.
I'm going to go with Friday the 13th.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Halloween.
Interesting.
Civil War is about to start.
I mean, why fight? We can't we just love everything?
I'll just live and love.
Yeah. And then murder people in our spare time.
Yeah. We should go as one Halloween. We should go as Jason and Michael.
I'll obviously be Michael and you'll be Jason.
Exactly. So that we can see the other one and be like, yeah, nice.
It's like, you look great. I wish I'd thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't said this in a while, but I went through this series at one point. I just watched them all back to back to back to back. And I was like, these are great. And I kind of just fell in love with them and they get weird-ish, but they stay. Once again, just formulaic, you know what you're getting. With Halloween, we have sort of talked about how it goes a little off the rails where there's the Druid's curse and then Michael.
Right. I am basing this solely on the first handful.
Mm-hmm. And I guess
so. My answer could very easily change.
Yeah, there aren't that many left.
In the remakes, yeah.
Yeah. I will say that the remakes for Halloween, like that trilogy, or I guess that whole series.
Well, because you don't have I'm cutting you off. I was assuming you're going to say the new ones are good.
Yeah, for the most part, except for Kills.
And Friday the 13th, what did they have? The one 2018. So that's kind of an unfair comparison, you know?
Oh, that was what? 2009.
I did your break on that one. Yeah, yeah. And it was bad. So if we're only looking at modern, then Halloween is an easy win. I mean,
just overall, yeah, I will say Friday the 13th has just got a special place in my heart.
Okay.
I fell for it. And Halloween, I've slowly been liking more and more just because I haven't seen them in such a long time.
And you get the mix up for Halloween 3.
Yeah.
The masks. Yeah. I mean,
it's a bit more of a roller coaster with Halloween.
Right.
As opposed to Friday the 13th, just being like, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a little bump here and there. Maybe this one would count as that. 200% part 9, where he goes to hell and becomes a worm.
I'm ready for that one.
And
but. Just based on the first two movies, what do you like better? Halloween or Friday the 13th?
Probably Friday the 13th.
I think so too. See, that's where I would switch over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Same team.
Okay. Are you ready for everyone's favorite segment of the show?
Tops and bottoms.
Like it or hate it. One-star review and 1 5-star review of this movie.
All right, to start it off, I've got a 1-star review from user Tony on Letterboxd. This film was infuriating to watch. All of the characters are annoying and stupid. Other than one of the kills, none of them are creative and are horribly shot. It does every annoying horror cliche possible. I counted 9 fake jump scares. And on top of that, the acting is terrible. This is a horrible slasher horror film.
I feel personally attacked. I feel like a lot of things I said, that person just shit all over.
Yeah.
Which is fair. I am very open to other people's opinions. Although, yeah.
I mean, I scrolled right past another review that was like, the only good thing in this movie is the characters. So it's like, everyone just has their own.
Yeah. And, you know, this is a movie I would want to hear other people's opinions on, mm-hmm. being in the minority of really enjoying this movie. It's like with Halloween Ends. I keep bringing that comparison up, but it's true. It's like, I want to hear what you didn't like about it. And honestly, I'll probably be like, yeah, I can understand that. For the 5-star review by user Newport Huffer, this one is almost as good as 4. Fun as hell with a lot of super memorable scenes and kills. Imposter Jason was a fun idea that changed the movie up a bit. The belt kill always makes me cringe, but in the best way possible. Plus, the enchilada scene is funny as fuck. Almost as funny as the dance scene from part 4. This movie is also probably the most mean-spirited in the series, so of course I like it. It's also interesting to see that nobody had any fucking clue what to do with Tommy Jarvis as a character. And finally, in quotes, ooh, baby, ooh, baby. 5 stars.
Steve, let me ask you a quick question.
Let's have it.
Are you Newport Huffer?
All right, well, the secret's out. Just kidding, I'm not. Did I get you good?
Whoa, the mask has been removed.
You know what?
The Newport Huffer username has been peeled back and underneath. If we wasn't to, Steve?
If we need to reveal something or take something off, I'm taking this fucking jacket off.
Yeah, I'm burning up and I'm not wearing a jacket.
Really hot.
That's dedication. You guys can't see, but he's been wearing the Friday the 13th Part 5 bomber jacket through this entire recording. Oh, on top of a sweater.
Including the 20 minutes that we didn't get recorded.
Yeah.
So commitment to the bit. I'm a part of it.
Commitment.
Speaking of commitment, I am committed to wrapping up this episode. This has been a fairly long one, but that's what we are committed to doing to you, the fans, is giving you guys this fantastic banter and commentary on our thoughts on horror movies. We have been doing it for a year now, and we do not plan on stopping anytime soon. So, Jeff, why don't you round us on up?
I will. Just follow us and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You know, follow us everywhere. Instagram, Herwitz House of Horror. Go to herwitzhouseofhorror.com for merchandise. Follow me on Art of Jefferson to see art. Follow Ugly Cowboy at Ugly Cowboy Co. Rate us on podcast platforms. And if you leave a review, we'll read it aloud.
Those reviews really do help. We really appreciate it when you guys do that. 5 stars and we will read it out and it'll be great. Did you literally just say that?
Yeah.
Cool.
But you said it better. You can just cut mine out of there.
Nah.
We'll read your review in different accents. We're accent specialists.
Hello.
Exactly. That's I don't know accent. What that was. But
maybe you'll find out if you leave.
Maybe you'll find out. Twist.
Give us a call.
Yeah. Call us on the Hot Take Hotline. Have you seen Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning? If you have, what are your opinions? Do you like that Roy was the killer? Do you fucking hate that? Tell us at 916-538-4412. If you want to call and just make fart noises, you can do that too. We'll probably put it in the podcast.
Send us a DM if you don't want to leave us a message. Let us know how many blue triangle Roy masks you would give this out of 13. Or you can send us an email at herwitzshouseofhorror@gmail.com. I am really looking forward to getting to part 6 with you, Jeff. It will complete the Jarvis trilogy, as it is sort of known by the fans, starting with part 4. Then we have this one. And then finally, Friday the 13th, part 6, Jason Lives.
Is it the same actor?
No, it's a different actor.
Nice. Good.
The actor, Tom Shepard, I think he ended up retiring from acting and went to go work at a church.
Okay.
Yeah. So we got a new guy. If you've ever seen Return of the Living Dead, one of the main characters in that picks up the role of Tommy. Interesting. And I actually really like that guy. So I'm looking forward to whenever we get around to that one, we'll give the Friday the 13th franchise a little bit of a break. And speaking of break, Jeff, you will not be here.
That's right.
For next week's episode, you have other commitments, and I haven't decided if I'm going to be having a guest on, or maybe I'll take a break, because my God,
you've been doing this for a while now.
These take up a lot of time.
Yes, they
do. Let me tell you. So once again, just follow the Instagram. We will post updates on any coming soons, or that's where I'll just say, hey guys, I'll be back a week after this.
Yeah, beat it.
Although we are planning on covering the Child's Play remake.
Yeah, another franchise that we're going to revisit with the remake that came out in,
I think it's 2019.
2019, I think. Yeah, with Aubrey Plaza
and Mark Hamill as the voice of Chucky.
That's right. For the first time, I believe, not being the original guy, voice guy.
Yeah. And that will be coming out on what date? Jeff,
I believe that'll be coming out on the 29th.
So
if all things go according to plan,
that is one thing to absolutely be looking forward to. If you guys have any questions you want to ask us about the movie.
Yeah, we might try a new thing where if you guys have any questions, we can answer about the podcast or about Child's Play.
Mm-hmm. We'll give you those hot takes here. Yep. Well, Jeff, let's call it quits today. Let us just say thank you again so much, everyone, for sticking with us for this long year that we had, a pretty great year. We've had a lot of fun here, and we definitely plan on keeping this going for a little while longer. So we look forward to where the future takes us. Thank you so much for your support, everyone. We will see you back here next week. And Jeff, as we say at the end of every episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror.
Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby.
Damn
ooh,
those
baby.
Enchiladas.
Ooh, baby.
You're gonna get it, bitch.